Left channel.
Right channel. Left channel. Right channel.
Left channel.
Right channel.
Smack dab in the middle.
You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
One, two, three.
Do it.
Oh, go, girlfriend. I'm your mother. Come on, Thorny. You're losing to the rookie. It's embarrassing. Come on, Rabbit. You can do it. Oh, Rabbit, he's killing you. I got Thorny in front by a lot. What's the matter? Your mama didn't teach you how to chug? Come on, Thorn. Come on, Thorn. Oh.
God damn it. I am all that is man.
Down the music for a minute. Hey, would you turn down the music for a minute?
Dude, chill.
Would you turn down the fucking music for a minute? Jesus! This is fucking bullshit! I have been here all goddamn day and you haven't let me say one thing! None of you!
Well, damn, Mitch,
Oh, no, asshole! You shut the fuck up now! It's my turn to talk! You're all fucked in the head! All of you! I mean you! Change your fucking tampon and have another drink, you crazy fucking bitch. And you?
Well, I don't know what to be when I grow up. Join the fucking army or something. Goddamn.
Fuck you, Monty. Always gotta be right with your little quips. We get it, man. You're fucking edgy and cool. Yeah. You're the coolest fucking guy at Shenanigans. Woo! That's like being the smartest kid with Down syndrome. Oh, yeah. Why aren't you in jail? I mean, what are you, like 13, 14?
She's almost 18.
You know what? This. You all suck. I quit.
There is one more thing. You. You are the biggest piece of shit in this entire restaurant. I hope you burn in hell.
Me? What the fuck did I do to you, man? Seriously.
That was the shit!
Pat! Where are you?
Sure, I'm here, Dan. Digging for apples, I'm breaking up soil, cause I know that I find apples.
Digging for apples, indeed. Come and get me out of this.
That's it. Go ahead and run. Run home and cry to mama. Me? I'm through running. I say we stay here and fight it out.
Are all men from the future loud-mouthed braggarts?
Nope. Just me, baby. Just me. Now! Who's with me?
I'll stand by you.
You can count on my steel.
I'll offer up my courage.
My sword's by his side.
I'm with you.
Open my bow to your will, sir.
And my hands together.
When the edges of your sleep surround you, baby. I got your back. And the figures in the fog have finally found you, baby. I got your back. We are one when we get going on. When the creatures pictures of the morning star to watch you, baby. I got your back. The only other person playing the game says I caught you, baby. I got your back. We are one when we get going. Hey, don't rest, no.
Hail!
Victory is ours.
Hey, everyone! It's time for Nowhere Mulberry! Welcome to the show, Film, Television, Pop Culture Talk. Most Fridays, if we can stand it. I am the J-Strom. Welcome to the show. I have here Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot. How are you doing, Steven?
I'm great today.
Fantabulous. We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian.
Salutations.
Can we count on your steel?
You have my steel.
Hail! Ah! You know, I love the part in the end of Evil Dead 2 when they're like, "Hail he who has come to the sky, from the sky to deliver us from the terrors of the Deadites." And he's going, "No." No! I love that. Where he's like, "I'm the guy in the drawing." Because remember in the drawing, he's like, "Didn't do a very good job." And it's him. I love that little bit. Because whenever you rewatch Evil Dead 2, I know we've all seen it a million times. Just those little moments like that. It's like so clever. I love what they did with that. But anyway, I didn't mean to get into Evil Dead 2 talk. But I'm glad you guys are here. Yeah, yes. That's the one martial art he taught them with the sphere. But everyone, I'm glad you are here. We talk movies, TV, stuff like that. Mostly television shows, wouldn't you say? Mm-hmm. You know,
We just kind of warn you about upcoming movies. You know?
Yeah, we just kind of like, "Hey, I haven't seen this.
And
this
is
out."
If something's really good, then we talk about it.
Right. Usually if it's something on DVD, we've seen it, maybe.
Well, we did the Avatar talk, you know.
Yeah, it's got to be something special.
That's what I'm saying. It's something good.
Something really good. I wanted to announce something, that it is my daughter's birthday week. Her birthday was on Wednesday, but I want to wish Emma a happy birthday. She's a big girl now, 6 years old. And she keeps telling me that, "I'm big now, I'm six." And it's like, "All right, you do it. You open the bag of Cheetos all by yourself, you know?" But that's pretty crazy. You know, actually, me and Heather had one of those talks like, "Can you believe?" And, you know, whenever somebody has a baby, it's like, "Hey, you're not going to believe how fast they grow." And it's just like, dude, shut up, okay? You're getting on my nerves or whatever. Everyone says that. But it's true. It really is. Like, all of a sudden, you know, we were just having the talk about, like, we couldn't believe how she used to be a little baby. You know, I used to hold her in my arms, and now she's, like, playing video games and stuff. You know, it's crazy. Now she's got a lightsaber, and she's swinging around trying to chop my arms off, you know, something.
Hell,
like that.
I remember us playing Star Wars Galaxies, and you saying, "I can't believe she's almost due."
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
Yeah. And I would learn to hold her up, you know, while, you know, get the right hand free for the mouse on the computer.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that. But
hunting crate with your newborn daughter.
Yeah, but eventually I was like, "You know what? This isn't working. Got to get off the computer." I just got to say goodbye for a while. Because I remember at one point I said, "I'll never be able to watch a movie again or go to the movies." It's like, it doesn't last that long, you know. It almost seems like that at the time, like maybe 6 months.
You got grandma there close by to watch it.
But you don't think that at the time. It's just like everything's changing, but it changes for the better. Everything's good. Good times. So we're going to have a big birthday party tomorrow, which will be fun. But guys,
at the house, or are you going somewhere?
We're going to do a little gym party with them doing cartwheels and flips and stuff.
Oh, and sweet. Trampolines and stuff?
Yeah. It's pretty fun. She goes every week on Mondays for gymnastics and stuff, so she'll have a lot of fun doing that.
Very nice.
So it'll be good times. Now, Bill, Bad Company 2 came out, Battlefield Bad Company 2, and you got to play it. I haven't got to play anything but the demo yet, but I'm really excited because I'm going to go ahead and say that Bad Company, the first game, was like one of my favorite games ever when it came out.
Yeah. The single player was just the characters are so fun. And then the storyline was actually, it was weak, but it was still interesting.
It was a lot of fun.
And the multiplayer is a blast.
You know, I've hated multiplayer on most games that I played before that game. Like, I'd play Halo, and, I'd get, killed by little, six-year-olds or something. My daughter's playing on the other end, just totally killing me. No, but, everyone's really good at Halo, it seemed like. And I couldn't just get the hang of it where I was good at it. I sucked at it. But Bad Company, the curve was pretty good, and I was getting better at it, where I was actually having fun. And it wasn't just like, man, screw this, throwing my controller.
You could choose what kit you wanted to be. You weren't just a Spartan running around with a
You could be different
various
things,
weapons.
Like,
you could be you have different points and different things to do.
In the demo to this, you could be a medic and actually have paddles and bring somebody back from death. Of course, they have to pledge allegiance to you. You now serve me after I bring
That is pretty great, though. When I was playing multiplayer, I was kind of surprised by that. It was like,
it's really cool.
I got taken out. I was like, oh, damn it. And then
it's cool when you're suddenly brought back from death. Oh, it's like,
the screen goes white. Flash.
It's like, whoa, I'm resurrected, man. Wouldn't it be cool, though, if, you could do other things, like go up with the paddles to a guy, the enemy soldier that's alive, and go, just shock the hell out of him?
Stick him on either side of
their head. I was wondering if you could.
I've tried to do it, but I always get gunned down. You, run up with paddles, the guy's like, you're like, oh! It's like, you can't get close enough to paddle anybody. But I've tried to do it on, vehicles, tanks and stuff, because...
That sounds like something that should be an achievement.
It's gotta be in there.
You're trying to shock the tank?
But I was, because, if you use a drill, you can use a drill to fix your own tank. You go, but if you go to an enemy tank on the original Bad Company, you would damage it by going, see the health
you
go.
This one, too. I got killed doing that the other day.
So I was like, maybe a paddle will damage it. But here's what I was picturing. Everybody's running through a puddle. Enemy soldiers, paddles in the water.
There's enough of a charge in a defibrillator to do that.
I'm going
to
put something like that in an action movie. That's the kind of thing. All of them get electrocuted, and somebody in the audience go, come on! Give me a... What? This movie's ridiculous! It's like, that's an awesome idea! Come on! In fact, I want to see that in an action movie now. Just like, maybe like
It'll
50 enemy
now.
Soldiers, running through the water. It's like, aha! You see fish floating to the top of a lake or something. That would be just ridiculous.
A supercharged defibrillator.
But I can't wait to play some Bad Company.
Those old phone cranks you used to stick down into the water to shock fish to bring them up like that.
I want
to
see
stun them.
Like the stun gun in Sherlock Holmes.
But something like that. But, in Bad Company 2, they also have, remote drones and stuff.
Yes. That's so much. There's even a single player mission where you have to control the drone and take out a bunch of things. It's really cool.
And, the knife animations when you knife somebody are really cool now, where you do this kind of over, knife in a melon kind of hit at times, It's like different animations for knifing people, which is really
cool. Yeah,
it's fun. Because it can be really violent. It's just like... But what's funny?
It can be satisfying, but then there's people that get way too obsessed with the whole knifing thing.
Right, yeah.
It becomes really irritating.
Where they won't even use a gun. They're just used.
No,
see
they just
the
run
time.
Around knifing
you
people.
You see one of your own soldiers running in the distance, and you see a guy running behind him with a knife, like he's Michael Myers or something. You're like,
yeah,
look
like
at
I
that
was,
guy.
I was in multiplayer, and I hopped out of the tank, and there was this sniper trying to sneak up on me, but I saw it. I saw him. It was so obvious, and he's like, so I turned around real quick and just shot him with a rocket launcher, and I got an incredible amount of satisfaction out of that.
Just vaporized him.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, guys,
it's really fun.
Yeah,
I finished the single player yesterday evening I finished it. And it's a really great story this time around, sets it up for a sequel. There's some really funny moments. The characters are, it's so nice to have them back because they're just so well realized.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. And you're like the fourth soldier there as they're talking.
Yeah, you're Preston Marlowe. You're the guy with, you're pretty much the smart guy who kind of thinks everything through. And then there's Sweetwater, who's the nerd, but kind of an idiot. And Haggard, who's the Texan, who lets everyone know he's from Texas.
Which one was it in the last one where he went across enemy lines and he was like, there's gold in them hills!
That's Haggard.
Yeah, I love that. They're like, what the? He's creating an act of war by going over there. There's gold in them hills! That was great. That game was so much fun. I can't wait to play this.
Yeah, there's some really great moments like that in this one, too.
Now, guys, we have a couple of voicemails. One from Sean. And let's check it out, huh?
What's up, Mulberry? This is Sean from Los Angeles. Epic, epic show last week, guys. I loved every second of it. It definitely brought the funny. I couldn't stop laughing at so many points during the show. Like when you guys played that stuff from Tool Academy and you were describing the face that that guy made when he started crying and begging his girlfriend to give him another chance and said all that "you complete me" stuff. Right when I heard you guys describing his face and how you said it was like the most ridiculous face ever, I took my iPod out and I was like, God, please let them put a picture of it on the chapter for the Enhanced podcast. And sure enough, right when I looked at it, you had the face there. Oh, awesome. It was so good. I loved it. That made me crack up for like 5 minutes straight. And of course, that stuff on regarding the diarrhea was classic also. Goddamn, dude. Yeah, love that. And it was a long episode, but it was definitely worth it, worth the length. And I really enjoyed every single part of it. Let's see what else. Oh, one movie. This is kind of changing subjects really quickly, but I just finished watching Halloween 2. Yeah, the Rob Zombie one. Please stay as far away from that movie as you can because it is horrible. Yeah, I had The Hurt Locker on my Netflix queue up next, and they said they were going to mail it to me, but they lied because it went back to long wait status. Bastards. I guess because of the Oscars or whatever. So they sent me Halloween 2, and I was like, I don't even know why I put it on my Netflix queue. I saw the first kind of remake, one Rob Zombie made a couple years back, and I didn't really like it because it was so freaking vulgar and kind of disgusting and not really Halloween at all. It's like they just took Michael Myers took the name Michael Myers but changed everything else in terms of like the tone and stuff. I mean, he wore the mask, but it was just completely off. So I don't know why I wanted to see the second one. I guess I didn't really want to, but I figured I'd give it a chance. But God, that movie is so freaking awful. I finished it, and I just wanted to punch myself for putting it on my queue. So if you haven't seen it, don't see it. Like, rent Santa Buddies or something. I'm sure that's way better than Halloween 2. God, that movie sucked.
And more wholesome.
Like, brush my teeth and take a shower because that movie just made me feel disgusting. Oh, God. Okay, so that's the end of my little rant.
Cleanse yourself of it.
Yes. So the lesson we have learned here today, fellas, is to just say no to Halloween 2. And yes, so I will take my leave now and look forward to your next show and talk to you guys later.
That's a different lesson.
God damn, dude.
That's a different lesson we learned. We need to stay away from zombies. Rob Zombie.
Mm-hmm, definitely. You know,
did you see that he was directing an episode of CSI Miami last week?
Yes, I did see that. Directed by Rob Zombie.
And it was so funny. You know, they were like, and starring Malcolm McDowell. Yeah, I was waiting for them to like bring out Udo Kerr or something. You know, just...
That would have been great.
Did he put his wife in it? Ball
quality to it.
And you know, I've had shitty movies like on my queue before, but they're like number 10, and I'm like, it'll never get to this. But it's happened before where I'll have every movie that's in front of it not available, and I'll get like some shitty movie. I'm like, oh, why did I have this on my queue?
Yeah, that happened with me the last time with W. Like, I just put it on. I can't even remember when I put it on. Probably like 2 years ago. And it got to the point where it popped up. I was like, I don't even want to see this.
Yeah, that's how I watched Knowing with Nicolas Cage. I was like, Knowing? What the hell? Why did this come?
Sadly, I own it and have yet to watch it.
You know, that CSI Miami, Rob Zombie, you know what it really needed?
Kelsey Grammer is the Angel of Death.
Yeah!
Plus, coming soon, Molly Ringwald.
Oh, yeah. That never gets old.
But what was Molly Ringwald in that? That it was?
I have no idea. I've never even seen that episode. But
maybe she was a rival medium.
I think I remember being told Kelsey Grammer didn't play the Angel of Death in that. What? He was just some guy. He was like a murderer. And I was like, I don't know. I guess the NBC guy took liberties with everything.
Well, they like to try to make it more interesting than it actually is.
Why, we need this more interesting. You can't say Frasier. You got to say the Angel of Death.
Kelsey Grammer is the alcoholic actor who crashed his Dodge Viper.
All right, guys, we got another voicemail from Rick. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Awesome show last week. Oh, man, funny stuff. The laughing with Jason just losing his shit. That is just so contagious when someone just absolutely
what a
losing
nice choice
their
of words.
Shit.
Lost my shit.
Yeah, I was laughing at my job and having a great old time just listening to you laugh. Yeah, pretty funny stuff. I like to do that myself. I would just experiment with the power of laughter. You're just in like a full car.
What?
We'll just be driving somewhere and I'll just start laughing.
Is that like a chemistry set or something?
At first until it becomes real and then people start to.
Two shots of laughter,
chuckling
one
and
shot of
bringing
giggle.
It in as well, and then everyone in the whole car is just cracking up for no reason at all. Yeah, until your guts hurt. So try that stuff because it does work, especially if you're a funny dude. Nah. But I was going to do some forced laughter now and just show you how real it can become, but I was like, nah, you need people right there. Nah, just kidding. That one's forced. Forget it, Rick. It's not working. Just let it go.
And I was listening to episode 192 where Adam requested that you play that drop from Cake Boss, you know, Buddy going, the box truck is basically a refrigerator. Who keeps coals in there? Yeah, you know that drop, yeah. Well, I was listening to 153 after that episode, and you and Bill were talking about Pop-Tarts, and then Bill said something in kind of the same way that Buddy was talking, and it reminded me very much so of that moment. So I'm going to play them side by side. I might be way off, but, you know, just, yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. So here they are.
Box truck is basically a refrigerator. If you leave it running, it's, you know, refrigerated box truck. It'll be cold in there.
Marshmallow, but I don't want it to burn my face like napalm. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? I cook them and I let them cool. Because they, once you cook them, they're crisped up. They're much better cooked, I think.
yeah, I don't know. I might be way off, really, but that
so
just
I like
made
my
me
pop
laugh out loud.
Pot
I thought I'd share with you the similarities because, yeah, it's funny when things are similar. I don't know why. You might have to listen to it a few times to get the similarity, but I think it's there. It might be a bit subtle.
No, yeah. I think we got it.
That was offensive. Yeah. All right, guys, have a great show. I'll talk to you some other time.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Yeah, I was just going to leave it there and have, like, a weird cut-off to the end of my thing, but I couldn't do it. I don't know why. I just wouldn't let myself send it off. So I'm fine.
It's like, Rick, come on. What happened?
But, yeah, no, who cares? You can cut this end off if you want and play it like that. I don't care. Either way, yeah, this was Rick. Rick from Australia.
And mystery, what happened?
That would have been a great cliffhanger.
That's great. Do that next time. Now, I think, Bill, if you were like, well, you know, Pop-Tarts are good because you put them in a toaster and then they get toasted. That's what Pop-Tarts do or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I think it was just my roundabout way of saying I don't like to eat them just out of the bag.
Pop-Tarts are good toasted. You put them in a toaster and that's how they become
and they become
and
toasted.
Then they get toasted
and then they're warm in there or something like that.
Well, it's, yeah, because they cook them and then he likes them You like them cooked, but they still got to cool back down to a edible temperature, I guess.
Well, when you cook them, because there's so much fat in a Pop-Tart in that nasty pastry, that, you know, the heat makes it kind of fry up a little bit.
Right.
So it's crunchier and yummier. And
yeah, this probably on that same exact episode we had this conversation, but I like them raw. Yeah.
I know you do.
But, you know,
I will eat them raw if I am incredibly insanely lazy, which I've been known to be.
But, you know, there's other kinds, like the chocolate or the strawberry, that I toast. But it's the s'mores one that I like plain. Just
the
like,
worst, though, is whenever you get a stale box and
yeah,
they're like, it's like dry and you try to eat it and it like sucks all the moisture.
That's
out
where
of
I have
mouth.
To I have to pay attention to what month it is, like, the expiration date. If I go to another store and see it's off by a couple months, I'm like, no, I'm not buying this.
A couple of weeks ago, I'm driving in, going up to Washington State, and I stop at a Wendy's. It's the only Wendy's that's not open late. So I get all the way to the hotel, and I'm eating the cold Pop-Tart out of the friggin' vending machine. That's all I've got.
Why would they put a Pop-Tart in a vending machine if there's no toaster there?
You got microwaves in your
room,
but I mean, but you don't.
Yeah, but why would you? You wouldn't microwave a Pop-Tart. That's gross.
I know it is.
Why aren't you in jail?
Huh?
Yeah, they should be in jail for that. That's illegal.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you know what, Steven? I've been there. Whenever I was traveling around doing the consulting work, those vending machines at the hotels are just
evil,
god awful.
This is bullshit.
Is that like remember on news radio when Bill, he was eating the old sandwiches in there, and then he took a bite of one. It was like it's like a crunch sandwich. Yeah. And
never
like,
eat the sandwiches. Never.
That's awesome. All right, Rick.
I always end up getting the gigantic cookies, the famous Amos or
Grandma's.
Yeah, Grandma's cookies.
Chocolate chip cookies. But, hey, Rick, I'm so glad you're okay. I don't know what fell down, and I was really worried about you there for a second, so I'm glad you're okay. So, guys, let's get into some entertainment. Delay the excitement.
Entertainment with the lag.
You wanted to build it up.
Well, I don't know what to be when I grow up. Join the fucking army or something. God damn.
It's like you said earlier this week to me. That is the only good part in that entire movie.
And, you know, what's that actor's name? Because he doesn't do much to the entire movie. He doesn't say anything in the entire movie.
Yeah. He's the one that's in that.
He's from Freaks and Geeks. He's now on Bones.
Yeah, he's in that Patrick Reed Johnson movie that's never been out yet. That's 77 about Star Wars.
I knew his name at one point, but I can't remember it. But in that movie, he just keeps quiet the whole time and reacts to everything until that's his moment in the movie where it's like, oh, this is why he took the part in the movie, because of this moment.
Yeah, he'll start to say something and get cut off.
Yeah, he's like, and then he stops. But that's what I love about that part.
Oh, no, asshole.
John Francis Daly.
Yes, that's it. All right, guys. Alice in Wonderland came out today, directed by Tim Burton, starring Johnny Depp as Elijah Wood, as we established last week. Still think he looks just like Elijah Wood.
He does.
Why hasn't anyone in the media mentioned this? He doesn't look like the Mad Hatter.
I think they're afraid to talk about it.
Now, has anyone seen it yet? Steven, Bill, no?
I was going to go today. I decided not to. I saw on Twitter that Ian Loring and Jordan McGrath from 35mm Heroes saw it. And I know Ian Loring thought it sucked, but I don't know about Jordan.
I saw Ebert.
Generally, I think it's getting shitty reviews.
Ebert liked the first half of the movie and said it goes off the rails or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like in the third act, but I don't know. Does it have this song in it? I might see if it does.
Digging for apples, digging for apples. I'm breaking up soil, because I know that I'll find apples.
Digging for apples,
except
indeed.
They Oingo Boingo'd it up with Danny Elfman or something.
All right, they got to have that song in there, otherwise I'm not going to see it, right? What about you guys?
That's such a badly rhymed moment.
What is?
The digging for apples. Because I know that I will find apples. He's digging in soil.
Hey, what?
He'll
find
apples.
You're knocking the song? What? No, it's my favorite.
That's a shit song.
No!
Breaking up soil, because I know that I find apples.
I'm breaking up soil because I know I'll find apples. And then he does find the apple and takes a bite out of it.
Yeah, he finds one apple on a BBC studio backlot. So goofy looking.
It's strange. It's a strange movie. And all the really celebrities is. In it are in these creepy costumes. But
in that entire moment, that matte painting of the girl that plays Alice with her face sticking out the window, and they don't even notice this gigantic face in the window. They're talking about the arm, but they don't notice that this girl's staring at them.
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm entertaining myself.
I guess. Yeah. Alice in Wonderland. What else can we say? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm kind of interested, but, you know, it's like Tim Burton's everything up. And
yeah.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it, I think.
There was a time
I can't remember
Tim Burton.
A Tim Burton movie I genuinely enjoyed since Edward Scissorhands.
Big Fish.
Yeah, I did like Big Fish.
Well,
I love that movie.
I was going to say there was a time where I loved Tim Burton, and then I started getting, I guess, tired of Tim Burton. You know, of course, I love Ed Wood, but I honestly hated the Mars Attacks movie. I thought he kind of lost his mind there. But also Planet of the Apes, I thought was, you know, like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
Kind of like lost control there. Like,
yeah, that was bad.
Tim Burtoning it up way too much. And, you know, like Big Fish, that was good. But he hasn't really blown
me
away.
See, Big Fish was like appropriate for Tim Burton. Yeah, because it was that fantastical kind of thing, but
I didn't think he Tim Burtoned it too bad, though. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I think he was restrained.
Yeah, the subtle Tim Burton, I guess. And you know, one,
one
just,
does exist.
And you know, and also, I wasn't a big fan of the. And you know, I'll admit, it had a lot to do with me being a huge fan of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I thought Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was fine, but it wasn't anything great. You know, a lot of times these days, people are like, well, why even bother doing a remake? And we know it's just going to happen. But that since I love Willy Wonka so much, I really was like, why even bother making this? Because I love the first one, you know? And the
well, yeah, I love
fine,
the original. I grew up with the original, but is the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory more based off the book than the, you know, than a remake?
The only thing
I assume so.
The only thing that kind of really bothered me is all the Oompa Loompa. I mean, they were all the one guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does anyone remember
and they weren't
name?
Orange and they didn't sing.
Well, does anyone remember the name of the Oompa Loompa guy in that? What was the little.
It's this really crazy name.
What was his
name? Roy Deep or something?
Deep Roy.
Yeah.
That's
Deep
what it
Roy.
Was. Because I think we made fun of it back when it first came out. Like Deep Roy jokes or whatever. Yeah, Deep Roy. I love that guy.
Like a locksmith.
Instead of them all being, you know, they all would look the same, but they don't have to be identical.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was one of my issues with the Oompa Loompas.
It was just,
that.
Honestly, it was kind of like, remember when Danny Elfman's music and Tim Burton movies blew you away, and it didn't blow me away or anything. It was just kind of like, it's about what I expect from them, I guess. It wasn't anything special. I guess that's what I'm getting at. It's not special anymore or anything. I always loved Edward Scissorhands, thought that was special and stuff like that. So I guess Alice in Wonderland, you see the commercials to it or the trailer, I don't go, ooh, I just go,
yeah, he went fantastical with it instead of.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't know. Just the fact that he's doing it, period, I'm just like, whatever.
The craziest thing is that he's actually remaking or extending Frankenweenie, which was one of his first movies.
Right.
I think that's what he's working on next is Frankenweenie.
Huh, that's weird. I remember the stories about that where he said that they screened it in parents were taking their kids out of the movie because they were disturbed by it. Because it's about a kid who resurrects his dog who's been run over like Frankenstein. It's like, oh my God, get out of here! But
I think those early days were, I think he needs to, pull his shit back together and get back to the Beetlejuice, Batman, Edward Scissorhands kind of years.
Right. So, hey, is that all we got with movies? Anything coming out next week? Anybody excited about anything?
Let me take a look. I'll go on IMDb.
I can't think of anything.
Looks like, Green Zone coming out next week?
Oh, yeah, I definitely want to check that out.
Yeah.
And you know what?
I like the green grass and the Damon mix there.
Are the Oscars this week?
Yep.
They're on Sunday.
You guys excited about that?
Not really.
I'm not either. I honestly hope that Michael Giacchino wins the music to Up, because I really...
He certainly deserves it.
Because that score just destroys me, you know?
Yeah.
It makes me go... And that's really good. You should be moved emotionally by music. But do you guys think everyone's like, oh, what's going to win? Either Avatar or The Hurt Locker?
Well, The Hurt Locker is kind of burying itself with all the negative press it's been getting, with the one producer fishing for votes and slamming Avatar in an email. Now he's banned from the Oscars. He's not even allowed to go there.
Well, that's what I was wondering. This, because of all this stuff like this week, when do you vote for the Oscars, and how long do you have until you send in your vote? You know what I mean? Like, if you're a member of the Academy. Like, what if maybe people have already voted by now? Do they really wait till the last minute? Like, oh, wait, I wasn't going
to
vote.
Oh, I forgot to vote.
Like, this guy's
a
dick.
Know. Maybe we should ask the guys with the suitcases they bring out every year.
Right, because they're saying, hey, this may hurt the Hurt Locker. And it's like, well, maybe not, because everyone's already voted, haven't they?
Well, I would hope that people wouldn't, look at one idiot and fault it for that. I mean, I don't necessarily think it was the best movie of the year. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really well made. But I don't think it was best picture material.
Honestly, when The Hurt Locker was over, and, Heather was like, so what did you think of it? I was like, yeah, it's good, I guess. And
yeah.
I was just like, I thought it was going to be like, I don't know. It was really like overhyped or something. I was like,
it was overhyped. I definitely agree.
I was waiting for this grand story or something, and that's not really what it is. Isn't it like a character study or something? Like,
yeah, it's definitely a character study of, how these guys get addicted to that sort of thing.
And it was extremely interesting. It was extremely tense, and the editing and all that, it worked for me. But maybe it was because I expected to be something different that I was kind of like, oh, okay. And I wasn't blown away or anything, and maybe it wasn't meant to blow me away, but all I'm saying is when I was done watching, I wasn't like, best movie of the year right there. I wasn't thinking that at all.
Done deal. No. Sign it.
So I say give it to Avatar. Yes, James Cameron's speeches do make me wince at times, because
he is such like, an arrogant guy.
He comes off so arrogant or whatever, but I love the guy, but yeah, his speech is just like, oh, like, king of the world! I'm the king of the universe! Ha 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 ha! And everyone's like, whoa, what the hell?
I'm the king of Pandora!
You see flames behind him. Ha 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 ha! Just super
he took the big tree down on his own.
It's like, yeah. He's like all of it mixed together, all the characters. But
I don't know, of all the films that I saw, I loved Avatar, but it's more of a personal thing for me. I don't necessarily think it's best picture material.
I was blown away by it, so I don't know. Honestly, when I didn't think when I saw it even about the Oscars at the time, because usually movies like that don't get nominated.
Right.
But I figured a lot of technical Oscars it would win, but not like best picture, because movies like that, sci-fi type. But then you see how popular it is and all that, and everyone's going to see it's made all this money. So I have no idea. But about the other movies, I still don't understand why Up is in the category of motion pictures along with the animated film. I don't understand that at all. Do you guys?
Well, they're just trying to round it out, I guess. They said, hey, let's do 10, and they're like, well, shit, I can't think of another movie that deserves it.
I think it's,
let's just put up in there too.
It's awesome that District 9 is nominated. But what if they did this? They gave the Best Director Oscar to Kathryn Bigelow, but Best Film is Avatar. Would that just be like, what? That's kind of weird, you know?
It is weird, but it's almost, I think what Avatar achieved and what it is, I think is definitely, you know, pretty impressive, and it's a gorgeous film, but I don't know. I'm very wishy-washy on it. I can honestly say there isn't a single movie nominated that I would say in my mind is the best picture. I really right. loved Up in the Air. I thought it was really well done, really well acted. If there's any movie, I would choose that one that I think deserves it for like best picture.
Yeah. But that's good. You got to think, what makes a film deserve it? You know what I mean?
That's an entire crazy long ass discussion.
Yeah. I mean, it means what the film meant to you as a person who saw it. So anyone who's voting for the Academy, it meant this for them. And they would have to defend their votes, I guess, to people they tell. But just whatever wins, that majority of people, the movie was the best picture to them.
You know, and when I first saw Inglourious Basterds, I didn't like it. I thought it was like overindulgent and ridiculous. But I watched it again this week and I loved it. And I would like to see it win Best Picture, but I hate the Weinstein so much, I don't want him to even be anywhere near it. I don't want to see him up there taking the Best Picture,
right?
You know, or Lawrence Bender taking it away for them.
I really loved it. Inglourious Basterds. Inglourious Basterds is so well made, and you know, it's disturbing and all that. But I thought it was really a really good movie, really well made film.
Yeah, the only problem I had with the entire movie was the scene with Eli Roth beating the shit out of the guy with the baseball bat. I thought it lasted a little too long.
That was nice. Nice and disturbing.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I thought maybe one hit would be fine.
The guy was a Nazi, though. He should die. He should be beaten to death.
I don't know. Just the scene didn't sit well with me.
Yeah, it disturbed you. Maybe it was supposed to do that. You know, like the ear cutting off scene of Reservoir Dogs. Like, this is disturbing. But then Michael Madsen says, "Hey, can you hear me?" into the severed ear. And you kind of laugh. But then you're like, why am I laughing at this? This is horrible.
This is disturbing.
Hey, can you hear me? It's
maybe
like
that's
so
what he
sick.
Wanted to achieve with it. To show that these guys were, you know, is just as monstrous as the
right.
Nazis.
And you had
know.
To be, you know, this hatred or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to What's On TiVo. Man, we talked about that a long time, Steven.
Yes,
sir. What the hell?
We get it, man.
All right, dude. It's right, cool. All right, guys, let's talk about Seducing Cindy. Now, Bill, last week we talked about the guy, Jeffrey James.
Yes.
This guy.
The man who has reached the level of martial arts known as Flo.
Right. He's,
I'm at the level of martial arts that Bruce Lee called Flo.
Yes, he called it Flo. Not Vera or Alice, but Flo.
Flo, yeah.
And this
or
guy, the beginning of this week's episode, he's on top of a mountain with a samurai sword doing stuff. And this is just ridiculous. Let's check this out. And I just want to point out, Steven, there's an eagle. What did you call an eagle caw? What does an eagle do that? What is that called?
I think a crow caws. I don't know. An eagle.
That would just
an eagle
mean
it's, sword?
I don't know. It's called.
It's an eagle
it's
roar.
Just the eagle's call.
Yeah, it's the eagle's call. Let's check this out. He's got a samurai sword. He also has some nunchucks, doesn't he?
This is, yes, he does.
This scene is just ridiculous. Let's check it out.
First thing in the morning, I like to kind of renew and invigorate my soul.
And play with a sword.
I like to kind of let my spirit soar, so to speak. When you become one with the sword, it's like your soul is part of the blade, and it just flows.
Ah, the flow,
I kind of feel like I'm a samurai. with a bunch of ninjas kind of swarming around me. I know Cindy feels that I have this energy and strength, and I'm sure she's attracted to it.
What? What was that? It's like screaming to the gods. He was channeling Arnold in Predator there.
They used that eagle sound effect as bookends. Very nice. They should use that every time he appears on screen.
I love that. Just the guy, such a douche, you know?
He really is an incredible asshole.
And you know what's great? The closing credits to the episode shows all the times he was messing up with his sword and dropping it and stuff. He thinks he's such a badass warrior and everything. Peter. And it turns out later he's a medic, but we'll get to that, yeah. Steven. Now, this week on Seducing Cindy, they decide to fake her death to see how much these guys really care for her. Or not her death. I don't know why I said that last week. That's what it looked like to me because they were crying. But
that's certainly what they were implying.
They were faking an accident where she was hurt really bad, where she needed a kidney transplant and stuff. So here, let's just check out the part where they're supposed to all go to Vegas, baby, and she's in the car in front of them, and they're following in a bus. But a truck pulls out, and they swerve to get out of the way, and the car flips down a hill, and it. You know, they make it seem like on the previews, like it's do, just over, end over end. But instead, it like flips over once and then stops. And they're like, you guys get out of here. Go back up the hill.
It flipped and it slammed into the rocks.
Let's check this out.
The guys are in a van thinking they're on their way to Vegas. But I've set up a stunt that's going to reveal their true feelings towards me. As I started to come down the windy road, at just the right moment, a truck backed out and cut off the road.
Holy
crap.
Holy crap.
Right.
They got jacked up.
What happened?
This dude right here just backed out. Oh, crazy.
Oh, my God.
Crazy.
This is not a good sign here.
Oh, my God.
You think a car wreck isn't a good sign?
Oh, my God!
No.
Oh, my God!
Griffin Dunn was in the car with her.
He was driving.
So the guys are all, like, stressed out. Like, oh, my God, what happened to Cindy? And they have this dummy of her. It was really funny. And what's weird is they didn't – I was thinking, like, how would you react if something like that happened? I'd at least stay there. Like, even if they said, no, you guys get out of here, I would say, no, we got to see if they're okay, you know.
Get out of the van and just stand and wait.
They all listened and went back up on the bus, and they were just like, wow, that was crazy.
They didn't even try to get out of the van.
Yeah. And two guys later, I don't know when it is because of editing, but they're like, hey, let's go down and see if anybody needs help. And she was even saying, I expected somebody to run down here, you know, to see if I was okay or something. But it's like everybody just rode back. So that was pretty funny.
It was two of the douchier, muscle-bound guys that decided to run down the hill.
Yeah. And there was the guy, Timmy, who is the real douche of the show, and he...
Timmy C.
He couldn't be consoled or whatever. He didn't want to talk to anybody or whatever. He's just kind of freaking out and being confrontational. So they made him leave, which I thought was weird.
Yeah. He was being really strange. Like, people would go up to him to, like, see how he was, and he would, like, basically verbally attack them and then push them away, and he just started going nutty.
I think he was generally concerned about her, but some people don't handle things like that
stress
well.
Like that.
They get angry. You know, I actually know somebody who, like, somebody, like, happens to somebody, they push everyone away. Just get away from me, man! Like, physically shove you if you're trying to, like, hey, are you okay? Just like, you know, it's not the most mature way to behave, but some people are like that. They can't handle any kind of stress or trauma or anything. It's just like what this guy behaved like. Because they say, hey, why don't we all go donate blood? Maybe they could use it on Cindy or somebody else to be good to go. He's like, I'm not going to do that. So it's like, okay.
So not giving someone else my blood?
So what they were really doing that blood thing for is later on they could tell them that your blood matched Cindy's and you could she needs a kidney transplant to see how they react. And there's this little bit here where this – I don't even think this guy is a real doctor.
No.
Do you?
He looked like my high school government teacher.
Well, the best part is he's talking to each one about, you know, she's got lacerations in her face. She may never look the same. And they're all, you know, very like, oh, I don't care about that. But my favorite part of the whole scene was the music, the very serious music in the background.
Oh, that freaking violin music.
Let's check this out.
Yesterday, the guys thought they saw me in a terrible car crash.
Holy shit.
But it was all a scene. Now, they're about to be confronted with some grave scenario. One by one, they will meet with my doctor, and I'll be hidden in the control room, watching every word they say. How they handle this will be critical.
Was a gynecologist. Mm-hmm.
She has pretty significant injuries. She has a lot of facial lacerations, and they're fairly significant, and they can be disfiguring. Her image might not be like it was before the accident.
I mean, it wouldn't change the way I felt about her by any means. You know, I'm here for her regardless.
It's not about an image. It's not about appearance. You know, it's unconditionally.
She could require maybe a kidney transplant. Would you be willing to do that?
Yeah, I mean,
honestly, this isn't. I mean, as far as my kidney, doc. I mean,
I've done a lot of drinking in my time.
You know what I mean? Like in college, and I don't know. My kidney's pretty. I mean, I don't.
Alcohol is pretty. I mean, that hits the kidney pretty good, right? I didn't want her to have this if you know it's all damaged. Other than that, you can use my kidney. Yes,
just 100%. Soak in alcohol.
She did sustain some facial lacerations.
I love that he's talking like he has one kidney.
Okay, and she won't look as good as she did before.
You know, she's one of the people that if I was blind, I'd still fall in love with her the same way. So it does not matter what she looks like.
She's going to need a donor kidney. And the blood work that you had drawn yesterday, you are a perfect match. And if you would sign this consent now, we got a van waiting because it has to be done as soon as possible to where you would donate a kidney to her. Are you amenable to that?
No, that's fine because I only have one heart. And you can take everything else from my body, but as long as you leave me with a heart to give to someone, then...
Score.
For the person you love, you do things that you would never ever do.
Yeah. And this was a guy who's afraid of giving blood, like the needle. He was like feeling faint. And he was like, okay, it's I'll like, do it.
That explanation of the heart's close to Buddy's explanation of a refrigerated box truck.
I'm just kind of wondering if they thought this was a real accident, would the show have continued filming him?
I know. Because then later on they do the elimination. Like, how are they going to do this elimination? I don't understand. It's like, God, you guys are stupid.
She kind of look like Rocky Dennis.
Yeah. And then she walks through the door and she's fine. They're like, what? Mitchell's
yeah,
pretty
they're
good.
All really, really smart.
But the best part is, you know, one guy did figure out it was a ruse. Who do you think it was, Steven?
I don't know which one.
I'll give you a guess. Jeffrey James. Let's see what happens when he goes to visit the doctor.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I'm Dr. Kalen.
Ah, Dr. Kalen, Jeffrey James.
Hey, nice to meet you. Doing okay?
Yeah, you know, I...
I'm a flow belt.
I know the deal.
Really?
I knew that the thing was set up. I mean, I'm an action guy. I'm a stunt guy, so it just looked like a typical stunt setup.
You know, this is obviously a stunt.
If this was real, I mean, I'm a medic. I would have jumped right out. I would have demanded to get out of the car and run down and make sure, you know, everybody's okay.
Oh, my God.
Tell me what you would have done when you were there at the accident. If you were there at the scene, what would you have done to help her?
Well, I was a spec ops medic, so...
Oh, okay. I dealt with gunshots, blast wounds. But first thing I would have
checked is to see if there's any head injury, and then I would have looked for neurogenic shock, psychogenic shock.
I would have assessed to see if there was any possibility of subdural hematoma or something like that.
Oh, my God.
And
send him off the hospital.
Sounds like you trained pretty good.
He knows more than the doctor. He knew all this medical terminology and knowledge. I'm like, who is this guy? He has 20 million different personalities. Every day, a new Jeffrey shows up. And today, he was a doctor.
Dr. Jeffrey.
It's called a phony, is what he is.
Today, it was the character he auditioned for ER.
Yeah, he's a big phony, is what he is, you know?
He's a con man of epic proportions.
I just think it's funny. She's like, wow. Like, wow, this is pretty interesting. It's
my
like,
God, he knows words. That's so hot.
It's like last week when he was like, I was talking about your motorcycle. That's the fat boy. And she's like, oh, okay. It's like, what?
You're such a bullshit artist.
I love that Asian music. All right, real quick before we take a break, let's talk about the Tool Academy, because this is a fantastic show where they fix couples who the guys are douchebags and the women, for some reason, they put up with them cheating. And I really like this episode because they do therapy
arts
where
and crafts.
You have to draw a picture of how you see yourself, and then you have to the girlfriend draw or the boyfriend draws a picture of how they see you. So you compare the two pictures. And so you basically have here.
Did anybody draw a douchebag?
Yeah. But what I think is funny is, you know, you're here to also win money. Like if you get to the end of Tool Academy, you win $100,000. So I think, you know, in the therapy, you got to be on your best behavior. Like, so they're going to want me to draw my real self. So I'm going to draw me as like a weakling. This is where I really see myself. It's like, oh, you've made quite a breakthrough here. So let's go ahead and check this out. And she even
that
asked this
uncanny.
That caveman guy, Bill. She goes, are you telling me what I want to hear? And he's like, yeah. You're telling me what I want to hear? Yeah. That's the wrong answer. He's like, oh, okay. Ogno like.
He can't. It's so funny that he lies, and then the moment she calls him out, he can't even. He's not quick enough to put two and two together, and he just spits out the truth.
Like, you're telling me what I'm here? Yeah. And I love the other guy, Angelo. He's the guy from last week with the cell shaded beard.
Yes, awesome, Angelo.
He just starts crying and freaking out and like kicking and punching his drawing. And my favorite is the glow stick guy, who is some kind of character out of The Simpsons or something. He's like that hillbilly guy. He's like, hey.
He remind me of.
He's got the same haircut as that guy. What's his name?
Cletus.
The slack-jawed yokel. Cletus, the slack-jawed yokel. That's who this guy is. And he's like, here's me. And he's got a picture. And he did a pretty good drawing of himself, like using the crayons and stuff. And he goes,
yeah, it was pretty good.
These stick figures over here, that's society judging. I love it. Let's check this out. It's genius.
In order to help you take a close look at yourselves, you will be drawing self-portraits.
A portrait.
What is this going to do for my relationship? Show what I look like? Show my muscles?
I did not personally like this therapy session's activity. I can't sit there and stare at myself and think about who I am as a person. I don't like what I see, but I guess that's the whole point.
Ah. Welcome back, everybody. Just so that you're aware, while you were drawing your self-portraits, your partners were also drawing you.
Oh,
Jacob. I expect Jacob to draw a huge muscle guy, and Jacob draws this little tiny character.
This is how I perceive myself right now.
But that person seems quite a little tiny person, really, and you talk about you've got your big muscles, you build, but you've only got like a teeny little bump. You have a very, very peculiar skewed mental map of yourself.
Yeah. I felt like very timid.
Is that how you really feel inside?
Part of me, yeah.
Are you saying what you think I want to hear?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the wrong answer.
Oh, oops.
Well, I didn't know we were taking the test.
Jordan's been living behind an artificial image for
this
so long.
This is my favorite.
That he's not able to articulate who he really is.
That's kind of like the image I portray.
It's big
but at the bottom, what you'll see is a control panel. And that's really me kind of behind the scenes putting out this.
Jordan has a lot of soul searching, I guess, to do to find that inner little guy. I love that inner little guy. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he drew a muscle-bound guy, but he drew a little stick guy controlling the levers. And that's really who he is. He's the guy.
At first, I thought it was like the voice box on Darth Vader's chest.
He's a wizard. I was like, he's like that little alien in Men in Black who's in the face. You know, it opens up and he's in a little chair in there. It's like, this is
save the galaxy.
Face feelings that he's locked up for years.
Oh, here's Anthony. Oh dear, he's already coming.
Tell that guy in the picture really what you want to say or do.
Never happened! Yo!
Does that feel better? He's gone.
He's gone.
This is why I'm angry all the time.
Mm-hmm. You got rid of him, haven't you?
Don't encourage
me to get him back up.
Yeah, beat the shit out of him.
The douchebag is gone. You've exercised him.
My modest perception of myself.
You've had a douchebag
exercise. I haven't succeeded in very much. I don't recall ever winning anything. I never finished school or a real job, and I'm broke.
I like going for it, dude.
These people here sort of represent society. They're kind of judging me.
The stick figures are judging me.
An outcast because you feel like you don't belong?
Yeah, I don't feel like normally accepted.
I partially blame society for the way I feel about not having a job. People are so shallow, they're quick to judge, and that's just the way I feel about it.
These shoes fit perfectly I'm wearing.
because it's all their fault.
I wouldn't feel bad about not having a job if society didn't make me feel bad about it. It's like, what? I love the stick figure.
I'm real mad about it if I didn't see stick people pointing at me all the time.
You've got to see the picture he drew. It's himself and stick figures looking at him. It's awesome. Now,
I love whenever Angelo says that he's the way he is because his family was poor, and that he had to share a bed with his sister, and he would wake up with roaches on him.
Right.
And that's why he is.
And he
that's
said,
why he is the way he is.
Because of pride, he pretends to be somebody else and never brings it up. Why would that make you into a douchebag who cheats on his girlfriend all the time? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Or have a cel-shaded beard.
His twisted logic. You know he made that story up.
Oh, I know. Because later on, the black dude's like, dude, that was, you know, you were just showing off for the cameras or whatever. He's like, what? And he like, gets in his face. Tell me that again in my face. It's like, dude, you made it all up. He's like, well, how dare you? And they're like getting a fight. But later they put them in a room with a two-way mirror where they can see a focus group who's watching their videos, and then it's like, what do you think of this guy? And it's like, man, that guy's a douchebag. And they're like, oh, how dare you? And it's like, this guy's a total loser, man. She needs to ditch that guy. And he's like, oh, and they're getting mad. And even one guy storms off. He's like, I can't take this. He goes outside.
Tommy.
He's like, I don't like this. It's not nice. And he's like, why, you little sissy? Because they
went too far.
What do they expect them to say? It's like they're all douchebags. But what's funny is, when he leaves the room and everyone's just sitting there, you know, the girl Genovesia, she's the tool that's the female. And she's like really slutty. And her boyfriend looks like this straight-laced guy, right? But he's living in the
normal
house with all the girlfriends. So all the guys are threatened by him. Like, man, he's over there with our girls? So I don't know what happens. He says something to one of the girls and another girlfriend defends him against his girlfriend. Because the caveman guy's like, man, don't you say nothing to my girl. I'll take you out or whatever. And he's like, yeah, whatever, whatever. He's just ignoring him. But then his girlfriend is like, I'll get ghetto on your ass and cut you.
I'll cut you, bitch.
And he's like, that's exactly what I hate when he hates when she does that. And she's doing
it. And the other guy, the caveman guy, said that that she shouldn't write checks her ass can't cash.
Right. And Cletus's girlfriend starts to defend the straight-laced boyfriend. Like, this is what he has to put up with. But don't you be talking about him? And they're like, let's go ahead and check it out because it's awesome. And it's awesome the way that the therapist lady, what is her name? I can never remember. She comes in and saves the day.
Trina.
All right, let's check this out.
I got an issue with you talking to Christy.
I'm
not there.
Tommy stormed out of there, and then
me and Kyle got into it for a little bit. Basically, I have a problem with Kyle because, you know, he was saying stuff to Christy. If you have something to say, bring it to me. Don't say it to my girl.
I'll show you how that goes down.
All right.
The first therapy, you're lucky, then you up.
All right.
Because look at my eyes, boy. My heart is a lot colder than yours, and I'm going to beat you the dog.
We can get down. You know what? I get real ghetto, and I'm not fair. I will cut your ass.
I just don't like him saying about me.
I told you. After the challenge the other day, he tried to come in and talk about
it. She needs to stop me.
No, man,
he's writing checks you can't cash.
Hey. I know what you are. You ever going to be?
Shut the up.
I'm done with you.
As JT was arguing with Kyle, I look over and I see Daniel and his girl like in a Tyson ring.
It's like five different little fights breaking out everywhere.
What are you doing, man?
Everybody's fighting.
You don't know how to act. I know how to bitch it. You still act like you're 13, you asshole.
I'm here. This is your therapist here. Okay?
Oh, thank goodness.
She's like the emotional SWAT team, man. They just come kicking in. And it's like, bam.
I'm just asking you all to calm down. This has got completely out of hand. What's happened is you've had an incredible group emotion, and you are just flying on each and every one of you's distress and pain, and you're bouncing it around the room, and you're all catching it. That's okay if one person does it. If you all do it together, it's bedlam.
The little guy working the levers.
And it's dangerous.
Can I say something?
Yes.
No matter it's what I do, eating. It's obvious. I can't turn a hoe into a housewife.
That means zero progress.
Somebody knocking the door.
I mean, I got my problems, but she's got hers too, and she's not even trying.
I am tired of being punched. I'm going with punching bag. Leslie don't need to be hitting me every time she gets mad. She's getting too comfortable with that shit.
She's not cool. Punching him.
She's getting too comfortable with that shit.
Cletus. Now, Cletus got eliminated, unfortunately. Poor guy.
Yes, but he dumped her.
Yeah, when you go out, you're supposed to like try to either reconciliate or break up. And he's like, I love you, but I'm not in love with you no more. And she's like, okay. And she like drives away.
I love that. I love that he even whips out that cliched breakup line.
I love you, but I'm not in love with you.
Like, I like you, but I'm not in yeah. like
And then she turns around and leaves. And then the peanut gallery pulls out the, you just made the biggest mistake of your life. It's like, honey, shut up.
And he says something like,
you don't want to talk.
Something like, he may have made a mistake, but he also made a good choice or something.
So are they still brother and sister, Cletus and his
girlfriend? Yeah, they'll still see each other.
Yeah, they got to see each other at Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Renew and invigorate my soul.
Yes, exactly. Now, guys, let's take a break. We'll be right back and talk about Kitchen Nightmares. All right. See you soon.
Are you tired of film podcasts where the hosts exist in a constant, blissful state of agreement?
I mean, the main characters are two of the dullest main characters I have ever encountered in any film.
Well, you're in luck. Let me introduce you to Chinstro Crumpunter. One is an ex-film student with a penchant for David Lynch and art cinema. The other is a man on the street. Listen in perplexed and horrified terror as we tear apart one film a week.
It just really
it's
isn't.
Not visually striking.
No.
Just getting confirmation.
Just dealing, that's the third time though. I mean, is this on?
You can find us at chinstrokerversuspunter.podomatic.com. So come and share the victory.
If you could any man in film, who would it be and why?
My answer is Lance Henriksen.
Oh. See,
he wouldn't tell. He looks like somebody. He looks like somebody who can keep a secret.
Beer in a shampoo?
It's great for body.
Beer-enriched body-on-tap shampoo gives your hair super body and the shine of your life. Doesn't smell like beer.
Smells fresh. Feels clean. I like it.
Hey, my hair really does look full.
And it's easy to manage. A pleasure to style. It's the beer shampoo that does it.
Gives it a nice shine, too.
Beer Enriched Body on Tap Shampoo.
There's no other shampoo like it.
I like it.
It's the smiling, shining feeling, the light of a brand new day. And you're the Pepsi generation, you're the spirit of today. There's a feeling deep inside you, a spirit you just can't hide. And with every taste of life that's new, well, that Pepsi spirit. The love and the laughter, the taste of life the world is after. Catch that Pepsi spirit, drink it in, drink it in, drink it in.
Don't worry, Mom, I'm eating right.
Me too, Mama.
I just introduced the boys to the barbecue. Wholesome roast beef, slow simmered in Arby's tangy western barbecue sauce. Arby's takes the time to make an barbecue just right.
Don't worry, Mama. Cookie finally rustled up some good grub.
Hey, go get some more of them barbecue sandwiches.
Yes, sir.
Don't worry, Mom. They're eating right at Arby's.
No little cinnamon gum freshens breath longer than Big Red.
So kiss a little longer. Hug a little longer. State your case a little longer. Longer with Big Red. That Big Red freshness lasts right through it. Your fresh breath goes on and on while you chew it. Say goodbye a little longer. Make it last a little longer. Give your breath long-lasting freshness with Big Red.
Wednesday on 8 is Enough, Joe's back and has a gold mine for Nicholas.
Nuggets are as big as your nose.
But Dad's suspicious.
That old rascal is setting us up.
Then the magic continues with opening day ceremonies and competition of the 1980 Winter Olympics.
At McDonald's, we serve you breakfast fast, so you have plenty of time to make the most of your morning.
Nobody else greets a morning like you do. Another day is on its way, a fresh new start for you.
Enjoy your morning and still have a delicious hot breakfast, like fresh grade A scrambled eggs with pure pork sausage and crispy golden hash browns.
Nobody can do it.
Make the most of your morning.
Like McDonald's can.
When my mother gave me her recipe for spaghetti sauce, she said, you want good sauce? Use good ingredients. Lots of ripe tomatoes, herbs, spices, Romano cheese. That's the recipe I gave my daughter.
But you know what I found out? Ragu was made with the same kind of recipe Mama uses. The same good ingredients. And plenty of them. Guess what? This is the recipe I'll give my daughter.
Ragu spaghetti sauce. That's Italian.
It's Jordan here from EatSleepLiveFilm.com to give you a few reasons on why you should come and start reading all the great movie-related stuff that we have over on our website. Number one, we are not your average film blog. We do not just regurgitate news stories that you can read on other sites like Slash Film and Chud. We have original articles, top five lists, etc, etc. Plus, we have the best reviews on the internet of new films, old films, and in-depth expectations on future films. Number two, be a part of something new. Eat Sleep Live Film is a very new site, but is gathering a great following already. Be a part of an expanding and interesting community. Air your views, listen to other people, and create a dialogue with each other, and maybe you'll find some other great, like-minded movie geeks. And number three, yeah, if you don't, I'm going to send good old T101 to your house to sit you down in front of your computer and to make you type in that URL to save you from being so naive as not to come and visit our site. And that site again is eatsleeplivefilm.com. Come check us out, and if you're a podcast fan, you can check out our weekly podcast, 35mm Heroes, which can be found on iTunes by searching 35mm Heroes. Hope to hear from you soon and see you on the site.
Can feel free to balance your left and right channels during the show there if you want to.
I love that.
All right, guys, Kitchen Nightmares. I'll give you a dollar if you can remember the name of the restaurant, because I don't.
Lido's?
Oh, Lido. And it was like this girl, she bought the restaurant when she was 23, got a loan, co-signed by her dad. She takes offense if you ask her if daddy bought her a restaurant.
Or if she got it from a marriage.
Yeah, something like that. No, she bought it, but she has no idea how to run it, we figure out. And she's got these Mexican brothers running the kitchen. And they don't they know nothing about cleaning. And there's this great moment.
There was Speedy Gonzalez and his cousin.
His drunk cousin.
Yeah.
Ah, Speedy. I love that guy. But right over where they, you know, the serving window, you know, ding, order up. There is dust coated
layer of dust
on the ledge.
Oh, God.
And it's not falling in the food. So how do you know that? Let's check out this moment, because I thought it was funny how she was like, I don't think anyone will care. Well, let's see. And he goes and gets the customers. I thought that was hilarious. Let's check this out.
Stop. Stop. Everybody, stop. Lisa, come here 2 seconds. Come here. When was the last time this place was cleaned?
They should be cleaning every day.
But look. Just here. Just
no clean.
Everywhere.
Disgusting.
Look at it. This is above food. I mean, come on. Luis, I am not serving food like this.
Okay.
Okay. That is disgusting.
I don't think it really has affected or gone in the food. Like,
how do you know?
We have customers to serve right now. And people
okay,
to
do me a favor.
Right now.
You serve those customers right now. I'm out of here. Your choice. Because you think I'm going to stand there.
What do you want?
And let you, what do you mean, what do I want? I'll do it this way then. Excuse me. Excuse me.
There was this comical little
Pull
kid and grandma,
here.
Like,
boy, for 2 seconds, please.
Open mouth
Follow
one.
Me.
Like, cut away.
Sir, come through. Madam, come through. I just stopped serving food in here because of the Help and me. The dust. Are you interested in being served dinner with that filth dripping in your food? Does anyone want to eat now?
No.
That's your customer. You need me.
It took
to
them way
that?
Too long to answer, didn't it?
Laugh.
You've been like, hell no. I don't know.
You should be embarrassed. Excuse me.
It's a little bit gross like that, but was it really affecting our food tonight? No. Like, did he need to make a huge spectacle and embarrass me in front of all my customers? No.
Yeah.
Lisa.
I'm over it.
She's obviously caught the point.
Lisa, what do you mean?
You come out, make us look like in front of, like, friends and customers.
Lisa, first thing I said, can we stop serving food? You're totally oblivious to what's happening in your business. You may have bought the restaurant at 23, my darling, but you're not running it. Grow up, Lisa, will you?
I love it. It goes to commercial with her in the bathroom. Then it comes back. She's still in the bathroom. And they keep showing the door. And you hear. And he's like, could somebody go in there and get her? And she's like, come out, Lisa. And she's like, no, I'm upset.
I'm so embarrassed.
And then somehow she miraculously snapped out of it, where she had to face up to everything.
She was in there for 10 minutes.
Yeah, but they made all the editing. She was in there for the rest of the night. on the shitter. But
where she finds solace.
There's no dirt
on that shitter.
What I thought was weird is, okay, if I went in there, I easily get grossed out where my appetite goes away. If he showed me that dust and where the food was, I would have been I would have been gotten feeling sick and I would have left. But people stayed there and they waited for them to clean up and then get their meal. I would have been out of there. What? Yeah. Or was that just
editing? What's crazy about it dust? Was editing. Is, it's mold spores and dead skin and
right.
Yeah, it's just ugh.
And you know those Mexican chefs aren't washing their hands.
Slowpoke Rodriguez.
I forgot to wash my hands. No, and later on, you know, Gordon Ramsay, he cleans the place. They remodel it. It looks nice. And then he comes up with a new menu. They get overwhelmed where they leave. They're like, yes. No, we're out of here.
They don't know how to cook.
Yeah. They all take off. And he's like... Chef Scott, get down here right now. And he's like, shling. He's like, they're like a superhero all ready to go in his white chef gear. And they is like, we decided to come back. And I'd be like, you know what? No, thanks. Get out of here.
Really. That's what I would have done.
I'm just like, go F yourself, you know? Or I would have been like, okay, come on back. And at the end of the night, you guys are fired. I'm going to have to let you go. Because I remember that happened to my dad once at a place where he quit angry. And they're like, no, come back. Oh, we're really sorry. He came back, felt like a douche, basically. He always tells me this, never do this. It's, you know, life lessons. And he's like, Terry, we're going to have to let you go. And he's like, you bastards. They did exactly that. And he's like, oh, they suckered me in. I deserved everything I got. So never do that. But she was like, I don't know if I could ever forgive him for that. It's like, that's your decision, but you know, you depend on them. And later on, it looked like they were still there. I could not. That's a betrayal when they all just leave on you. And it's just like, no, thank you. Because what if that ever happens again? It's like, are you guys all going
to
leave?
Like, if you got a whole new menu anyway, you're going to teach everybody anyway, you know, how to cook this new stuff anyway. So you might as well get a new crew.
Yeah.
Why didn't they ask for help? You know, if they were overwhelmed, you know, you got Gordon Ramsay right there. Ask for help.
Right. And I love that.
They just didn't speak English.
That's what I was going to say.
Well, they all spoke the same language back there. And then Chef Scott, they listened to him once he got there. They just, it was, you know, it's the same thing that happens to all these kitchens. Nobody takes charge of it.
I'm not laughing. I think you're a jerk.
Hey. All right, guys, let's talk about 24. Now, 24, we know, is very silly. The storyline will never end. You know, it even starts out with the beginning. Luckily, there's not a lot of the Starbucks story. They decide to dump the bodies in the river, which is fine.
Yeah, that made a lot of sense.
And there was the little sinking of the face in the water, like, ooh. You know, it's like
Jack going down to the Titanic.
But, oh, it's so funny. Stephen Root, Jimmy James from News Radio, is on next week, and he's like, I'm here looking for Cletus the Slag, John Yokel. Have you seen him? No, I haven't seen him. I only killed him and put him in the lake. So I can't wait for that story.
His friend did look like Cletus. The one
Jimmy
that
James.
Stabbed him.
I can't wait for Jimmy James to show up. But there's this whole ridiculous thing with
Judo Man.
They're trying to save this the brother of the guy from Slumdog Millionaire, who's a traitor, but now he wants to be rescued. He'll tell them everything they need to know about the nuclear rods. They get there too late. He's been gunned down. So Jack's like, hey, let's pretend like he's alive and announce it on the news. Then the terrorists, they'll need him dead, so they'll show up and try to kill him. That's when we'll strike. So they send one guy who's a human bomb. He's got a bomb strapped to him with a special trigger in his hand. And one thing that we've always loved about 24, no matter what, no matter how stupid it is the techno babble jargon they use.
Oh, it's just ridiculous.
So here, Jack Bauer is asking Chloe about this trigger. And she tells us all about it. It's awesome. Let's check it out.
Mr. Bauer, go ahead.
Jack, facial recognition just picked up a match with the IRK intelligence spies. His name is Marcos Alzacar, American-born, working undercover with the IRK for the last 3 years.
Where is he?
Approaching the side, brown hair, blue scrubs, wearing a dark blue jacket.
Copy that.
Hold on, Jack. He's got something in his hand. It looks like a remote detonator. I think he's wearing a vest.
Hmm.
Chloe, can you disarm us from there?
Possibly. If I can pin down the detonator model, I may be able to scramble the arming code using the transmitter and the mobile comm.
Get on it. Oh, okay. And you've got a man approaching your position. He's got brown hair, he's wearing blue scrubs and a dark blue jacket.
The cell tower.
Owen did it, Jack. I've got a visual on the vest.
We're set in position.
Okay, it's a bomb model 10-2.
DDR configuration. I just need to pump the frequency of the receiver.
DDR configuration.
About 30 seconds before they reach that room.
A Dance Dance Revolution configuration?
Got it.
I love how it's rifling through every possible
the mobile comm now.
Standard GSM, seconds. Guys.
That's not my first fault.
Come on, Arlo. This all of a sudden?
None.
Jack, the vest is disarmed.
Move in.
Thank God it's disarmed. Oh, shit! It didn't work!
Except for the secondary
Whoops.
Bomb.
Whoops. Yeah. He's like, I have a grenade in my pocket, assholes. He's like, oh, shit. Can you jam this, mother...
have a backup.
Hey, Chloe, jam this. Click. So what I think
I don't. I don't know. The grenade uses 3G or Edge.
It's so funny because the guy, he can't set off the bomb, so he jumps out the window. He still gets away and seals himself in like what is that?
A hyperbaric chamber.
Yeah, he seals himself in a hyperbaric chamber, and then he like calls his. Can you get cell coverage inside a hyperbaric chamber? I don't know, but he calls him.
Hey,
and he's like,
it's 24.
He's like, they jammed my detonator, and he's like, set it off manually. He's like, I don't know how. He goes, I'll talk you through it. And he's like, okay. So he starts taking off. That guy
okay,
really.
So why don't they jam his cell signal?
Yeah, I mean, how do you even jam a trigger device? I don't know.
Well, you use a DDR configuration.
Yeah, let's check it out. Chloe's going to tell us.
It's a DDR configuration. I just need to pump the frequency of the receiver.
Oh.
I may be able to scramble the arming code using the transmitter of the mobile comm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. So it's
that makes total sense now.
The mobile comm and the transmitter thing. So I can see how that.
You got to scramble that.
Yeah, you got to scramble that. So, whatever. 24, I'm just like,
you
know, it's funny.
Eggs, but you know, that was me.
After that episode, and it ends with a guy in the chamber, Jack's like, yeah, but I can't get in there. And it's like, you know, the clock. And I was like, that was the episode?
Yeah.
I just kind of laughed. And I was like, I can't wait till Jimmy James shows up next week.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was excited.
It was like the producers were like, guess what, viewers? This storyline ain't going away. We're going to torture you with it the whole season.
Well, I love that we get rid of the hillbilly storyline, and now we have to deal with the love of the daughter of the president and the his security advisor.
Well, was Stephen Root's character? Is he like, I'm a bounty hunter from Texarkana, and I'm looking for this hillbilly jackass? And it's like, oh, okay.
I'm used to doing the voice of King of the Hills, so I got my redneck voice
there.
That's hilarious. All right, guys, Smallville. Now, I don't know if you saw the week before, but they destroyed Zod's tower, and he's really upset about that.
Well, technically, Clark destroyed it.
You know what?
I mean, that's how they built it up, was him standing on a roof and just using his heat vision? Really?
He could have, like, stayed on the
could
farm
he have
and
done
that.
Any
that.
Time.
Yeah.
He could have done it from anywhere.
And I think I love that he's giving the new identities to the, where are they from? Kandorians?
Kandorians.
Here you go. Yeah. There's a driver's license, and, you know, you can
get your driver now.
Get your electricity turned on now.
Here's your social security number.
Get your deposit, your phone, you know, or pay your water bill.
Car grabbing phony IDs.
This drove me nuts in this episode because this guy, he's, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll tell you where it drove me nuts later, but there's these alien abductions. The Kandorians are being abducted, and this guy comes directly to Lois Lane to talk to her about aliens among us. And I thought this is a great moment where he just wanted to give her a news story.
Miss Lane, I'm Dr. Bernard Chisholm. Forgive me for being so forward, but I have a news story I think you should hear.
Okay.
Sorry, Doc. You just got me on a night when work is the last thing I want to think about.
It'll make your career. Aliens are living among us.
Okay. Tell you what, pal. The next time that you want to get a hot tip to a reporter, just try an envelope and a 44-cent stamp. Okay.
I did. Dozens of times, in fact.
Snail mail.
Well, considering your story's alien angle, those letters probably never made it off the wacko pile.
I can prove my claims. I've captured some of them.
They're invisible, but I'd swear they're there.
You have to lock the key at a safe location outside the city. Come with me, Miss Lane. I'll show you.
Yeah, very tiny.
Help me spread the word. Together we'll defend the human race.
A new Adam and Eve.
You're very convincing.
Sounds so romantic.
I just need to call my editor.
I have two of them in my pocket.
And let him know that I'm following
you
a hot
just
lead.
Call the loony bin. I mean, editor.
Damn cell phone. Never a signal when you need one. Just, I'm gonna try out there. Just stay here.
Just hang loose, blood.
Okay. Don't go anywhere.
911. What's your emergency?
Psycho.
Never mind, false alarm.
Do you have a tiny shotgun?
I hope you'd enlist to fight our war. But I guess you'll have to be drafted.
I'm holding a miniature toy shotgun to your back. Don't move.
That was a great line.
And it's so
I guess
funny.
You had to be drafted.
Zod shows up. He does like the easy detective work. He's like, okay, let me go to the Daily Planet and see who has sent in the any kind of alien sighting type. Mail or whatever, and he sees a stack all from one guy, so he goes to his house, I guess, or his lab, and that's the dude. All right, he found him. Then he gets shot. He gets shot and he bleeds to death and dies in front of Clark, and Clark saves him by sticking a kryptonite nail in his hand.
Oh, good Lord.
And then I love at the end, he's like, Clark, I'm just now healing. Everyone knew. D knew he was going to fly away at the end, didn't you? Just waiting. He's like, so I was just like, well, Clark's an idiot, okay? This Zod storyline is driving me crazy.
It really is. They need to end it now, please.
I want Steven Root to show up next week.
He needs to show up on every
Zod.
I'm a Kryptonian bounty hunter.
He should show up on Tool Academy.
But just, whatever. It's Smallville. Woohoo!
Oh. They renewed it for the 10th
season. Yeah, so I was like, the show that won't die! And I love, like, Green Arrow, Ollie, he finds out somebody's embezzling, and it turns out it's Chloe because she's stockpiling Kryptonian weapons. Like,
but she's not just embezzling; she's investing,
right? In kryptonite bullets and like 50-cal machine guns and all sorts of stuff. Just like, wouldn't a kryptonite dagger? That's enough. That would kill him, right? Just right in the
heart.
What
about just a kryptonite bullet?
Yeah, why is she? It's like all fancy.
What's with the guns?
Kryptonite.
Tess Mercer's like, whatever her character shows up, it's just like, now why is she on the show again? Or she's supposed to be. She took the place of Lex, but it's just like, I don't know. Oh, but anyway, Smallville. Great. Good times, huh?
Always fun.
Always fun, yeah. Can't wait to see what happens next week. But we did find out the doctor died because they did experiments and brought him back to life, just like Metallo earlier in the season.
Yeah, so they made his brain look like a grid pattern.
It looked like they just needed to add the nails so he'd be Pinhead, didn't it?
Yeah, really.
Because were those nails what were in his head originally?
I don't know.
He pulled them out of his head, right? I don't, because I was like, he was
I didn't care enough to pay attention.
He was a Cenobite, Steven. Because he put that one chick in that weird plastic type outfit where he's freezing her.
The frozen
Cenobite.
Yeah,
that's Cenobite. A little weird.
It's a tad strange.
That's the first I've ever seen of a clear plastic cryo chamber.
He invented it. That guy's a genius.
He really is.
Let's talk about Lost. Gotta love The Lost. This was a Saeed-centric episode. And, again, you know, Everyone's angry about wanting answers when they watch Lost. Right? Awesome.
Did you get any this week?
Are living among us.
But I thought this episode was pretty cool because it started out with the Dogen and Saeed hell's a poppin' throwdown fight. I thought that was pretty badass.
And well, I was waiting for something like that because that guy has been in so many, Japanese films where he's actually done that sort of stuff. So I was just waiting for a good fight.
And I was rooting for Saeed in the scene. I was like, kick his ass, Saeed! But, you know, he...
Evil Saeed.
But luckily the baseball saved his life because we got the story later on about the baseball. But
did you hear my baseball?
This episode was... I thought it was pretty cool. And, you know, they do the sideways stuff. And I don't want to spend every episode of Lost where we have to defend the episode, you know, because that's just silly. We don't need to defend it, right? It just either works for people or it doesn't.
You either like it or you don't, and we're not going to try to justify it.
I mean, basically, we will eventually find out what the deal is with the sideways storyline. We will get that. You know,
I'm loving the sideways story. I love it just as much as what's going on the island.
I think it's very cool. And they had, you know, you see Jack walk by in the hospital, and Saeed doesn't want to be violent, but he gets taken in after his brother's put in the hospital, and it's Kimi, that a-hole from a couple seasons ago. And
it killed Ben's daughter.
Yeah, he's a...
Not Ben's daughter.
He's some kind of gangster or a loan shark. I don't know what he is.
Yeah, loan shark gangster.
Obviously,
yeah,
he has something to do with Son's dad because he sent Jin there to give him much money, apparently. Yeah. And I guess it got confiscated, right?
Yeah.
So he couldn't give that to him. So
now he's in the ice box.
I'm being patient because I always think back to last season when we saw Daniel Faraday in the Orchid station. And it was the 70s. There was Marvin Candle. And then all of a sudden they showed, you know, that Giacchino music. It's like, Daniel Faraday, what the hell is he doing there? What the hell? What the what? And it all gets spelled out later. And it was fine. It was just like, when we saw on the season premiere, Desmond was on the airplane for a moment, and then he was gone. I cannot wait until we get the Desmond episode in this season.
Oh, that's going to be so good.
I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Now, what happens here is Dogen tells Saeed to get the hell out because he's cursed. He's evil. Evil's taking over his body. There's a balance, and the balance is tipped towards evil. He's like, I'm a good man. And he's like, yeah, right, whatever, dude. You're Saeed. So he tells him to get away. But then Claire shows up because Locke told her to go there and warn them. But he's like, oh, wait, Saeed, come back. Come back. I want to give you this knife, and I need you to do something. And he's like, what? And here's where the scene takes up. And Saeed basically encounters Locke in the jungle. Let's check it out.
Your friends, Shepard and Reyes. Do you know where they went?
No, I don't. Why is Claire here? And what was she talking about?
She's a confused girl. Under the influence of an angry man.
What man?
For years, he has been trapped. But now Jacob is gone. He's free. This man will not stop. Until he has destroyed every living thing on this island. He is evil incarnate.
And you want me to speak to him?
No. I want you to kill him. He will come to you as someone you know. Someone who has died. As soon as you see him, plunge this deep into his chest. If you allow him to speak, it is already too late.
Since I've been here, I've been drowned, beaten, and tortured at your hands. Why would I ever do anything for you?
You said that there is still good in your soul. Then prove it.
Hello, Saeed. Now, why'd you go and do that? You want him back? Take it, I won't bite.
What are you?
Well, Saeed, you seem to have some idea about that, considering that you stabbed me in the chest without even saying hello. What did they tell you?
They said you were evil incarnate.
I feel sorry for you.
Why?
Dogen, the man who sent you out here knew that you had no chance of killing me. And he believed that I would kill you if you tried. And this wasn't the first time that he tried to get someone else to do it for him, was it?
No.
Then shame on you for being talked into it so easily.
And what is it you are trying to talk me into?
Sorry?
You haven't killed me. Clearly there's something you want.
I just want you to deliver a message. That's all.
And why didn't you just have Claire deliver it?
Because it would mean a lot more coming from you. Saeed, if you'll do this for me, what if I told you that you could have anything you wanted? What if I said you could have anything in the entire world?
I would tell you that the only thing I ever wanted died in my arms, and I'll never see it again.
What if you could?
That's the way to end
all
a lot.
All is hidden in the guitar lyric.
It's a code you must decipher. But that, how cool was that when Saeed goes back and you're not sure what he's going to do? And then, you know, they have that touching moment with Dogen. And he talks about how he lost his son, but Jacob said he could live, but I would never get to see him again. I would stay on this island. I thought that was interesting. And then Saeed drowns him. And then I love Saul Star from Deadwood. He's like, "You idiot! What have you done?" And he's like, "Sing!" Gets the cut on his throat. And so basically, what he delivered the message was, "You all have till sundown to leave and join up with him, or he's going to come in here and kill everybody." And how would you think of that scene where the smoke is coming all through everything?
Just like a freight train.
Yeah,
that was insane.
That was pretty sweet. And I thought it was cool that, is her name Ileana? And
when they're looking for the secret passage.
Yeah, and Ben. I love that scene where Ben's like, "I'll go get Saeed." And he's like, "Saeed, come on, we can go." And he just turns to look at him. And I realize that's the first time Saeed has seen Ben since he killed him when he was a little boy. Remember, he shot him anyway. He's like, "I'm staying here." He's like, "I'm just going to back away, dude."
Yeah, Ben knew, like, "Oh, shit, I've seen that look before."
It's like, "I'm out of here." And I wonder what side of the fence is Ben on now. Obviously, I don't think when he killed Jacob, I don't think he knew the ramifications of what he'd done. Obviously, he's just overtaken with anger.
No. But now I think, you know, now he realizes that this entire time he's been used by the person that wanted Jacob dead. So I think he's probably going to try to do what's best for the island at this point.
Try to redeem himself in some way. And I love the way that Locke talks to people. You know, he's just like, you know, "I can free you now. Jacob's dead. You guys can leave. You don't have to be here anymore." He's just like, "Yeah, we can leave. Let's get out of here."
Yeah, it's very, it's promising the way it comes out. It makes you think, like,
it's enticing.
"Oh, yeah, this guy, you know, he's good. I can trust this guy."
Right. And more than once, Richard has said it, and now Dogen has said it, that he wants to kill every living thing on this island. It's like, why?
And he probably wants to kill every living thing on the earth if he gets off the island.
So I wonder why that is. Why is he so angry? He's like, he's an angry man that was trapped here. And then you have the whole Kate with Claire thing, and she's like, don't worry, I have Aaron. I took him. She's like, what? So you're like, uh-oh.
She's going to kill you.
And I love the scene where, what is it, Miles, he's like, hey, where's your husband? She's like, what, Jin? He's like, yeah, he was here, but man, you just missed him. And she's like, oh.
I would love to know. I don't have to know. It wouldn't bother me if we never did, but I would love to know the idea behind how Saeed and Claire have turned this, like, I mean, they even look different. Like, as the episode went on, you could see, like, something in Saeed's face change.
He was trying, like, to be good, but then that offer of, like, Nadia, having her again, and just like, that sounds like a pretty damn good deal, dude. I think I'll take
it. It's like they got, all of a sudden, he was brainwashed. This, like, absent look on his face that it was evil, and it was really frightening to see, especially whenever Ben approached him.
When he killed the dude, and he killed the guy from Deadwood, I can't remember, something Hawks, John Hawks, that actor. I was disturbed by what had happened to Saeed. I was genuinely disturbed by it.
I was sad. You know, so I was like, well, I guess we lost Saeed.
I was kind of thinking about, you know, the being the smoke monster. You watched the movie The Stand. At the end, when the atomic bomb and Randall Flagg disappears, you guys are comparing it to all the other books.
Mm-hmm.
When Randall Flagg wakes up on the island without his memory.
Mm-hmm, right.
I mean, it's kind of, the smoke monster is kind of reminding me of that, you know?
Right, and you know what? Randall Flagg, he makes deals with people. I always think of the guy in the jail cell. He's like, you could stay here and starve to death, or you could swear allegiance to me. You could have everything you want. It's like,
you want the key? Here's the key.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good deal, man. I think I'll take it. But then you're basically doomed because you've made a deal with the devil, essentially, is what we're saying here. So it's very cool and interesting, and I love what was with the Falling Stars song, put it in your pocket, save it for a rainy day. Oh, that's
so creepy, that last scene of them all coming out and the dead bodies everywhere as Saeed walks around. I was just like, whoa.
And I love, like, he's like, Locke turns and sees Kate with him. He's like, yeah, all right, cool. You got Kate along
with
this?
Yeah, I think was it the... the Jeff Jensen thing at the end, he was like, he said, it could have been, okay, I can work with this, or, oh, crap.
Right.
You could interpret it in two different ways.
Yeah, but you got to think, if he thought, oh, crap, that he could easily dispatch her if he wanted to, you know?
Well, no, there wasn't there, like, there's rules that, you know, like, you can't hurt a candidate or something.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, there are some kind of strange rules there. And Saeed and Claire were candidates, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, we determined also that...
and that's probably why he never attacked Saeed.
And even though Kate isn't one of the numbers, technically, one of the lost numbers, I mean, that you typed in the computer, but she is a number.
Yeah.
But remember on that episode where Jacob does touch her when she's a little girl...
Yeah, he touches her on the nose, and she was on the wheel, right, at the lighthouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's what I've
heard. Who knows?
So, it's interesting. I just, you know, it's one chapter at a time. I'm being patient. I can't wait till Stephen Root shows up on the island. Jimmy James.
That's next week.
I'm looking for a hillbilly. It's like, we drowned him in the lagoon
a long time ago. Two Mexican chefs that left a restaurant.
At Lidio Manhattan.
So anyway, I love Lost. It's awesome. And I always have a great time reading, like, all the blogs. And, you know, I'll read one thing and be like, oh, come on. You guys are being a little... Then I'll read something else like, oh, that's interesting. It's just, like, a lot of fun reading
You've
stuff
about
it.
You've got me hooked. On that Jeff Jensen site.
He's always a lot of fun. I think
what's so great about his is he's so knowledgeable about literature.
Right, and he does research on it if he doesn't. He does a lot of research. Like, he went all through that, through the Looking Glass, and compared everything to that, the mirror world, and how people on Lost in the Sideways world, they look into the mirror. There's always something to do with reflections, and then Alice in Wonderland. And I thought it was really cool and interesting. You know, we have no idea what that has to do with anything, but it's interesting and it's fun to read.
Is it like a, you know, parallel universe type thing?
Right. It's kind of like in the story, Alice imagined a mirror world that was more interesting than her own. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty interesting and cool. And Doc Jensen, yeah, he's always been a lot of fun. Sometimes I'm like, okay, dude, you're getting crazy, man. And he'll even admit, like, I know you people are going to think I'm crazy, but just listen for a second.
Yeah, and you know how much I hate theories. I just love reading his stuff. It's so entertaining and enthusiastic.
Yeah, he's really excited about it. But anyway, Bill, let's talk about Spartacus, Blood and Sand.
This was a penultimate episode.
Yes, it was, and I don't think it's going to end the way it does from the beginning. There's even some comic relief in there with Spartacus planning to escape. But let's start out with this scene. Theocles has been destroyed. He's been killed in the arena by Spartacus. And we know Crixus is pretty much jacked up. So here's a moment where...
And Spartacus brought the rain.
Yes, he did. Everyone's happy. It's raining. It's all good times. And then this happens where he tells them about the whereabouts of his wife.
This is only the beginning. I will build an empire of blood and glory upon your name.
You do not stand against Theocles on his own.
Crixus is not forgotten. He will always have position if he survives. But Spartacus is the name on the crowd's tongue, and I would see it spoken with ever-increasing amazement.
I defeated a man who could not be defeated. What more could they expect of me?
Everything! Their appetite is a great beast that must constantly be fed with new delights. We'll start by changing your fighting style. Two swords as Theocles fought with. See the crowd's pleasure double with their new hero, twice as deadly. A new armor, worthy of a legend. Men will be made to feel smaller by it. Women will moisten at the very sight. Ah, but I forget. He has no hard purpose to just any wet thigh, does he?
He and his purpose are not my concern.
Fortunately, the gods feel otherwise. They shower him with more than rain and accolades. They bless him with news to lift the heart higher than the clouds.
So?
Found in the dark corners of Syria.
Where is she? Is she well?
Peace. All will be revealed when her mouth closes. The Syrian glab I spoke of sold her to a merchant. The sea, his mistress. They have recently docked on the shores of Neapolis.
On Roman soil?
Your wife among the slaves. 2 days' ride from where you stand, barring incident.
When do we leave?
Is it wise to allow such a thing?
My man already spurns his horse. Rest at ease. She moves ever closer even as we speak.
You are an honorable man. And will forever bear my gratitude.
As you bear mine. Being reunited with your wife is but the first of many rewards.
Dominus.
What a great boss, huh? What a great guy, huh?
Oh, what a good guy. He cares so much about Spartacus. And
coin. He cares a lot about coin, doesn't he?
Yes, he loves the coin and the moist thighs.
There's a scene in this. It's so funny that... where him and his wife are in the bath now because now it's raining, the drought's over, and she's got her handmaidens or whatever. And he's talking about, I don't know, relieving some stress or whatever. And she's like, here, have one of my handmaidens and enjoy yourself in front of me. So he's like, okay. So he is having sex with her from behind while he's having a conversation with his wife in the bath while she's being bathed by other women. And he's having a conversation as he's talking and straining. And I was just like, how do actors film a scene like this without laughing their asses
without
off?
Without cracking up,
How could you just stop?
The girl that played the handmaiden looked like she was really enjoying it.
You have not seen a more disinterested face in your life. Just kind of like thinking about laundry or something. But it's hilarious. And the grossest thing is that later on, we'll get to that, but Spartacus, his wife is coming, so he's really excited, but he doesn't want to stay there and his wife be a slave and him be a gladiator. He wants to escape with his wife and get away, which immediately I'm thinking, oh, this is a bad idea. It's not going to be good. And even his buddy, and what's this guy's name? The blonde?
I cannot remember his name.
He's like, this is a bad idea, Spartacus. And he's like, no, here, listen, hear me out. I'll have my armor and this. He's like, no. What about our teacher who could best any man? And he does the scenario where then his teacher kicks his ass and then his wife gets killed. He's like, no, wait, here's what we'll do. And he keeps changing the scenarios, and it's kind of funny. And each time he's killing lots of soldiers, and he decides what he'll do.
Or he's being killed, or his wife's being killed.
He's trying to rethink these plans. And his idea is to get all of the men drunk and get them laid with lots of prostitutes with the coin that he won. Even though he's a slave gladiator, he still gets money from – he still gets a purse. So he's going to use that money to get all the men drunk, and the guards will get drunk too. Everybody will be slow and hungover the next day. He'll even get his master drunk, and he'll be hungover, probably not be able to get out of bed.
And he drugged his master.
Right. And there was a great scene where he's like, I do not drink. I do not do anything to weaken my mind. He's like, but hell, I'll drink to your wife. And he's like, oh, okay. And he gives it to him, and then he passes out. So he's like, and he's going to wear his brand new armor too. So he'll be, and he has a dagger, I remember. This little kid has a Thracian dagger. He's like, is this real? And he's like, yeah, it is real. And then he swipes it. So he's going to use that to escape with his wife. And it's all building up to that, and they have this big orgy scene, all the gladiators and the prostitutes, you know, there's sex everywhere, booze, everyone's going crazy. There's man sex, too.
But there's the subplot with the man sexers that...
There's the warrior who has the young male... lover.
Man sex lover.
And he's like, I have enough coin now to free both of us. Except this other dude has totally framed him into looking like he didn't follow orders and let this little boy live when he did kill him. And it's really just disturbing everything that's going on here. And John Hannah, Dominus, there's this scene where he questions him. And he realizes that he's screwed and he has to fight his way... he has to fight his way to freedom or whatever, but he gets basically stabbed a million times. I thought that scene was really disturbing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was basically – it was what would have happened to Spartacus if Spartacus tried to get out.
Right. He would have just been the same fate as this guy. And it all turns out that it's made up that he did follow orders and he was killed for no reason except for this other guy who hated him who now – has more power, I guess.
Yeah, I can't wait for that guy to get his. He's the guy that limps around. And
yeah, I really need to find names on the show.
He just plays everyone against one another.
Yeah, he's the crippled guy who kind of limps because he was a gladiator who injured his leg, I guess.
Yeah.
So then the scene comes up the next morning where Spartacus' wife is going to show up. He's got his armor on. Everyone's hungover. He's looking at the guards and... there's even one guy, I think it's so funny, as they're walking around, you see everybody passed out and drunk. This guy comes out of whatever the bathroom is, and he's like, I just shit myself.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, and it's like, oh, well, that's nice. And
God damn.
Yeah. Damn, God dude. Damn, and it's Chris Noel
my
coming
ass
out of there.
From wiping.
So, Spartacus is walking out. He's like, all right, I'm going to do it. I've got my armor. I've got this dagger. You know, everyone's slow. My wife is going to show up, everything. And you see his friend looking at him kind of like, this is a bad idea. But, hey, you know, he's loyal to him.
To you.
I was almost thinking he's going to end up helping him. He's going to get killed or something, his friend. Mm-hmm. He's going to give his life to Spartacus because he said, I'm sorry I can't help you. I have a family. But he's going to give in and help him. But instead, when the chariot or whatever, the wagon pulls up, you realize, when he starts walking towards it, Bill, then you see the teacher guy.
The teacher, yeah, giving him the eye like I
know
what
you're
up to.
He's coming out. He's like, oh, shit, he's awake. And he's strapping on. He's got his whip and everything. He's like, oh, crap. And he's trying to walk faster. Then you realize the guy who's driving the wagon is all slumped over. And he realizes he's bloody. And he's like... he's like, we were attacked. And it's like, oh, no. Oh, shit. And so he's like freaked out and he opens the back and his wife falls out of it all bloody. And she essentially dies in his arms. And I did get teary-eyed in that scene.
So did I.
I thought that was devastating. His
I
wife,
was like, damn!
His wife finally shows up, and she's just barely even hanging on. She didn't even say a word. She was just kind of like, and like lost.
It's funny how the show actually developed this false hope. Like, right. I was actually hoping that – I didn't know how it would work, but I was hoping that she would be alive and they would live happily ever after.
Well, I was thinking – I was like, she'll be a slave there and maybe John Hannah will have his way with her from time to time. But still, she'll be alive and they'll both be together from time to time. Yeah. But he's like, well, I want to escape. And I'm like, oh, no, this is going to be a bad idea, you know. Because at least as a gladiator, he could win them lots of money and eventually purchase
now her
their
death
freedom.
Will make him angrier.
But here's the thing. When she dies in his arms and it's real sad and everything, all he thinks is bandits attack the wagon. He has no idea that as Dominus is walking away, he goes, see, I told you he'd be reunited with his wife. Kind of like, and he walks away. I have an honorable word. I'm an honorable man. I reunited him with his wife. But what he also did was arrange for her to be killed. And Spartacus doesn't know that yet, but I'm sure he'll find out eventually. Yeah.
I can't wait till he finds out.
I know.
Squirrely little bastard.
But it's like, how did this ridiculous pilot episode where this show is just a lot of fun become like a different show?
Yes, this addictive drama with...
There's no way you could have told me that I would have welled up with tears eventually in a certain episode.
No, moving from the scene where he's running in place... And it changes from a field to a snowy forest.
I know. And also the fact that Crixus, this big asshole gladiator, you actually feel bad for him.
Yeah.
And they're trying to heal him. And even Spartacus, he goes in there to check on him. And he's got mud and stuff on his wounds or whatever that stuff is. And he's like, I'll drink to you or whatever. He's like, don't you give him any of that wine.
Yeah, but he did that just to get that... that drug to knock out his teacher.
Right.
So he stuck his finger in the wound and reopened it.
Right. That's where he's like, oh, the wound is reopened. He's like, oh. But he's just distracting him. So I guess Spartacus doesn't care about Crixus that much, does he?
No, I don't think he does.
He doesn't give a shit about him. Wow. So tonight is a new episode, Bill, and I can't wait to watch it. Just see what...
It's like now my Saturday morning routine. You know, I go to bed right after the show because for me it's like 1 a.m. And then I wake up, I get my tea, you know, I get some toast or something and sit down on the couch and watch Spartacus and revel in the violence and debauchery that it is on a nice Saturday morning.
Big time debauchery. And John Hannah character, the slave owner, the gladiator owner – he's turned into quite the bad guy, hasn't he? Just the son of a bitch.
Just in this one episode, he's gone from kind of a squirrely, desperate guy who you're actually kind of pulling for into just a complete dick.
Yeah, when they showed that he wiped out that guy's family for an attempt on his
life. Yeah, that's where it started.
That's when you're like, this dude's hardcore, man.
Yeah.
This guy's psychotic. But that's Spartacus. And what is it? Is it – no, it won't be for 2 weeks we'll get a new apprentice, I don't think. It's the 14th when it premieres.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm trying to think some new shows will come on. Oh, and Southland came back on this week on TNT. There's only 6 episodes because they made 6 episodes before NBC canceled it. So – TNT picked it up and they're like, we'll show your 6 episodes, you know, all the episodes you made from last season and these 6 episodes. The ratings are good. We'll pick you up. And this first episode showed how just intense and awesome that show is, you know.
Now, are these 6 episodes on the DVD release?
I don't think so. No, these are brand new episodes.
All right.
And
because I want to start watching it because, you've talked about it and.
It's a great show.
It seems really good, and I want to watch it, but I want to watch it from the beginning.
This show is intense, too. I mean, it's I don't know how to explain it. Just it's real, you know, and it's really scary. It can be shows how dangerous it is for cops, and you never know who to trust.
Did it start off the same way as the one with Vic Mackey, whatever, The Shield?
Right.
Remember when it started off, it was it before it started becoming too calm, you know, it got too crazy, but in the beginning it real gritty. And,
right. But yeah, it's not this. That was about corrupt cops.
No, I understand. Yeah. I'm just saying. But I mean, is it along the same lines?
Yeah, it's what you call gritty drama, and kind of like you wince at things and stuff. And there's this part where this kid is driving a car. They don't know who he is, but he's driving a car erratically. And they're this female cop and her. This guy is a total dipshit. Is her partner that she's been stuck with. Are trying to pull the guy over and tell him to stop his car. And everybody, it's like in a poor neighborhood, a bunch of people watching, and they're like, stop the car. You need to pull over right now. So they're trying to get him to stop, and he starts to back up. The dumbass cop feels threatened, so he shoots at him, shoots out the window, and the crowd gets really pissed off, and they start coming up trying to grab him, and like a riot is starting, and they call for backup. And the two main character cops show up, and they're, like, tackling him and stuff. And they're, like, they're sticking their guns out. They're like, I'll blow you away. Just stand there. And they're, like, coming at him and grabbing him and stuff. And it's just, like, crazy. They're like, we need to get the hell out of here. These people are insane. And it turns out just to be this dumb kid who couldn't drive a car. And he created that all that havoc. But scenes like that are just scary, you know. Mm-hmm. And the season
– I think what's crazy about that is you could see it happening.
Right. And, you know, last season, there was a subplot with a girl who witnessed a murder of these gangbangers. And it was like this drug cartel type of thing. And they wanted this poor girl who's in high school dead. So they keep doing drive-bys on her house. They keep trying to find her and taking shots at her. And they're trying to put her in witness relocation. But they're like, we don't have the funds for that. We'll have to take her grandmother, too. It's just this big thing. It was driving them nuts. And they're trying to protect her 24 hours a day. And, basically what happens is they come after her in the final episode with Regina King. Is that her name? That actress?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's an intense shootout with just her and that young girl and these guys with like, MAC-10s and stuff. And I was like, man, this is the most intense shit I've ever seen on just a primetime drama. And it was really good. The show's just really well done. So I highly recommend Southland. So check it out. Be there. Except not on NBC, on TNT. FNBC.
NBC doesn't know what's good.
Yeah, screw them.
Aliens are living among us.
okay, but all right. Let's just go with that. Aliens are living among us, huh?
Shame on you.
All right, Bill, let's do some news. What do you say? Right, Steven?
It's news time.
Let's do some news. Let's do the news. Huh?
Yeah.
Know. What's going on? Come on, Foggy.
So how are you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing? Yay! Did he go on a smoke break or something? Foggy. I thought Foggy quit.
He's in the restroom. Wiping his ass.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
Yeah, that music sounded a little bit like I've got power. like he was doing a Final Weapon Jeff Speakman thing.
He's doing Jeff Speakman, the perfect weapon. He's got a couch turned up on its side and two sticks.
The perfect weapon. And I have that sitting right here on Laserdisc.
Oh, my God.
That was the shit!
Yeah. I have it on Laserdisc right beside me.
The best thing about that movie is Professor Tanaka.
Yes, it is.
And I love Jeff Speakman can't kick his ass, so he's like, wait, I'll go for the knees. So he starts crouching down and punching him in the knees, and Professor Tanaka's like, my weak knees, stop. Yeah, you freaking out my weak spot. It's hilarious.
It's almost like, what was it, the Star Wars movie, The Undiscovered Country, where Captain Kirk kicks the thing in the shins? That's where his
damn you! My weak spot!
Jesus!
But I love that. Professor Tanaka.
Yeah, I keep meaning to transfer it over to DVD, but I just don't have the wherewithal to actually put it in the Laserdisc player.
Goddamn!
All right. Starting off with news, here's a sad story coming directly from Twin Galaxies. Walter Day, the former oil industry executive who was captivated by the video game craze and founded the arcade Twin Galaxies that would later become the international sanctioning authority for the record of high scores, has retired from his creation.
This is the referee guy?
Yes, and but
Bill, you know, I was waiting for you to say he was dead.
It's not all sad.
Oh, okay. He's not dead, though, right?
No, okay. I was. The way I was reading it, it sounded like he might have died, but no, he is 61. He's close to death, but
oh my god, no. He looks really frail. He's a frail dude.
He looks bad for 61.
He does. I don't know what
like
he's
my
doing.
Dad's 60, and he's still pretty, you know.
Yeah, my dad's in his 60s. He doesn't. This guy, Walter Day guy, just looks really frail. No weight on his body at all.
Well, I think he's like one of those crazy Maharishi transcendental meditation. He only eats like rice or something. I don't know what the hell his problem is.
Man, boring rice.
But he's chosen to leave Twin Galaxies at 61. To pursue a music career.
Nice. I remember in that Chasing Ghost thing, he's playing some of his music.
Yes. Yes, and if you remember in King of Kong, he also plays a song, which is pretty freaking bad.
You know what? I remember also a bit where it said he sent his referee outfit to the Smithsonian or something. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
He never heard back from them.
And I think that's one thing that people tend to forget about or don't know about is that other than King of Kong, there is a documentary called Chasing Ghosts.
Right.
And it's really all about how he created this, like the first cyber athlete, you know, these gamers. And yeah, you know, Billy Mitchell is pretty good. He's still an asshole, but.
Aren't these? Like, these are the same exact guys too, wasn't it?
They're
filming Chasing Ghosts.
The movies were almost shot exactly the same time, except King of Kong got a better marketing or more, you know.
Right. Yeah, I just saw Chasing Ghosts. I saw on Showtime, and I was like, "Wait, this has got to be the same people." It's like some of the same footage, and they're talking to the same people.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, I saw it on Netflix. I've been wanting to see it for a long time, and then it was on Netflix streaming for a couple weeks and then gone. But I don't even think it's on DVD, which is weird. But
you know,
anyway.
That's pretty cool that guy, you know, did that. I mean, it's a pretty cool idea to be a ref and all that and keep scores and stuff. So.
Yeah, he said in an interview that he loved video games so much, it made it a very possible excuse to be surrounded by them to start this place, the Twin Galaxies. He also talked about how they I guess he sold the rights to someone else now, so it's under a separate ownership and management now at Twin Galaxies. So he's really taken this music career thing seriously.
Well, we'll be the first to buy his new CD, right?
Yeah, really?
But, you know, seriously, though, all those guys are huge nerds, though, aren't they?
Oh, my God. Are they ever?
I just always remember that one guy who watches the videotapes on his
own. Yes, that's what I was just going to say. Robert Mazurek or McCruick or something. I don't know. But I love the one scene of him in King of Kong where he's watching, like, friggin' Mappy or something. VHS. And he's like giggling and laughing. Oh, that's a really good move. That was really very smart.
And, you know, one of his many cats comes up and he pets it as he's watching.
Yeah.
His house probably smells like cat shit.
You know that dump filled with these corrugated boxes of VHS tapes of just smells like cat piss.
Oh, I know. There's probably shedding fur all over the videotapes and stuff. And he's got his big gulp. Sitting there.
Yeah, it's really disgusting.
Dust everywhere. Just layers of dust.
And of course, my favorite being Brian Koo, who constantly reports back to Billy Mitchell by the payphone at
Game. When did you know kill screen's coming up?
Yeah, and then he's gonna run around the entire arcade. Just so anybody knows, there's a kill screen coming up on Donkey Kong. If anybody wants to see it,
it's embarrassing.
You're such an asshole.
Yeah.
All right. Here's, you know, last month, February, the shortest month of the year was Black History Month. And three Los Angeles elementary school teachers are accused of giving children pictures of O.J. Simpson, Dennis Rodman, and RuPaul to carry in a Black History Month parade.
What?
Oh, man. And now the teachers have been removed from their classrooms, the school district spokeswoman said. Children, Children from other classes at the school displayed photos of more appropriate black role models, such as Nelson Mandela, Harriet Tubman, President Barack Obama. Los Angeles Unified School District spokeswoman Gail Pollard Terry said the incident occurred Friday, where the student body is more than 90% Latino. District superintendent placed the teachers, all white men who teach first, second, and fourth grades, on administrative leave on Tuesday while an investigation is conducted. Gee, do you really think an investigation needs to be conducted into this?
Yeah. Are they ever going to find out who did it?
Black history, O.J. Simpson and RuPaul. Dennis Rodman, good Lord.
Do you really think one of the teachers put him up to it?
Well, I mean, these were just kids. The teachers gave them the pictures.
Wow.
Yeah, so the teacher said these are appropriate people to celebrate Black History Month about.
He is evil incarnate.
Oh my gosh.
All right, a driver who ran a stop sign and nearly struck another car head-on Monday was charged with DUI, resisting arrest after she gave an officer a false name, according to Bay County Sheriff's Office. She identified herself as Alicia Butt, B-U-T-T, according to an incident report. But a deputy learned after taking her to the Bay County Jail that was not her real name. She consented to a breathalyzer test, and her results were .331 and 330. The deputy said she had a quarter full whiskey bottle in her car, was barely able to stand, and had urinated on herself. So he didn't ask her to perform the field sobriety exercises. I think that was a smart move.
Who is this
she's
guy?
Also charged with driving on a suspended license. She sounds like a barrel of fun. Get drunk and piss myself and then hit some cars, run some stop signs.
She sounds like a real catch.
All right, next story. A man who claims to own Palmerston North in New Zealand has turned down an offer to have a shoplifting charge dropped. Police prosecutor Sergeant Mike Toon said Maori activist Karen Kawana was a man who stayed true to his word and offered to drop the shoplifting charge in exchange for a vow to stay on the right side of the law. Kawana was offered the deal in Palmerston North District Court yesterday. All stolen items have been returned. He stole from the store when he went to collect rent about 6 weeks after he delivered an eviction notice in July last year. He also issued eviction notices to the university, the military camp, the North City Council, and the Revenue Department. So this guy goes around town saying, I own you, pay me rent. All right.
Wow.
Or I'll evict you.
Yeah, or I'll evict you.
I guess it didn't work, huh?
I think he thought he was Brad Wesley. The key there is that you need thugs to rob and burn your places down before you can tell them you're collecting rent and you will evict them.
You gotta have a Bigfoot-style truck to run over cars.
Yeah.
You're all fucked in the head.
All right. A Kent County Sheriff's Department in Michigan has arrested and charged a man for performing circumcisions without a license.
Oh, no, asshole.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, the 56-year-old Thomas Hugel is charged with unauthorized practice as a health professional. Well, that's awful nice charge.
Well, I don't know what to be when I grow up.
He's accused of performing circumcisions on three adult males.
Holy shit!
In his bedroom of his home.
Dude, if you've gone that long, why would you want a circumcision?
Yeah,
the only time to get is when you're a baby and you can't remember the horror.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
He had a mini operating room set up at his house, and he wore a laboratory coat, and he was even able to administer a local anesthetic before the procedure. Where the hell did the guy get this stuff? I don't know who would go to somebody's house for a surgery. Says neighbor Larry Benson.
Mr. Larry Benson.
Benson was unaware of any illegal activity until he saw Kent County deputies remove his neighbor from his from the home in handcuffs.
Oh, my God.
when questioned, Deputy Ed Kowalski says Hugel told Kent County deputies he used to be an Army doctor.
Wait, was Benson, he a spec ops? Ops medic?
He was a spec ops medic.
Who is this guy?
He did circumcisions on all the guys in the spec ops. You can't do things like that. You're not a doctor. You're not even close. You've never studied. He was a retired EMT or something, his neighbor said.
Is it wise to allow such a thing?
No, it's not. But, I mean, what grown man is like, you know what? I've always wanted to have be snipped, you know?
Yeah. Well, here's the kicker. He advertised this service.
The Penny Saver?
On Craigslist. But Penny Saver would have been just as good, quite frankly.
This is bullshit!
I want to know who these guys are that were on Craigslist looking for circumcisions.
It's like, I was looking for a washer and dryer, but man, I've always wanted a circumcision.
Free circumcisions.
We get it, man.
My girlfriend was always disgusted by my anteater. Let's get a circumcision.
That thing's weird looking. Could you get that taken care of?
That's really kind of gross, honey.
I'm going to go for the cheap maybe joke. You could
go somewhere.
Free circumcisions. But I do accept tips.
Yeah. Well, honey, I don't know. Let me check Craigslist. Maybe somebody on there.
So,
can
do
help
these
me
guys
out.
Get what they deserve, basically?
Yeah, really.
Oh, my God.
All right. The go-kart didn't have enough for a union man to elude a sheriff's deputy last week. Union County authorities arrested and charged Edward Matthew Sweezy, 29. With resisting arrest, possession of a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, and public drunkenness last Friday after a deputy stopped Sweezy, who was driving a go-kart near the intersection of Richard Street and Lakeview Height.
He is evil incarnate.
The deputy heard a report of a stolen go-kart. On his radio and turned his blue lights and siren after spotting it on Richard Street, less than a half a mile from the man's residence.
I've done a lot
he was intoxicated and became irate when the police officer asked him to step off the go-kart. He began to curse and yell. Sir, could you please step off the go-kart?
This is bullshit!
I want to see the dash cam video of this, desperately. The deputy told told Sweezy to turn around and put his hands behind his back, and the deputy and Sweezy got into a brief struggle, with both men going to ground when the deputy tried to handcuff Sweezy. According to a report, the officer searched Sweezy at the scene and found a green pill bottle that contained three pink ovals and a crack pipe. The deputy also reported using his taser because he would not get into the deputy's car.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But the go-kart was released to the man's wife, so...
Oh, good. It wasn't impounded.
No, so he'll have something to drive when he gets out.
That's so funny. You gotta have to take this to the impound. It's like, honey, could you drive this home? Or we're gonna take it.
How much you want to bet that, you know, he has a drinking problem and it was their genius idea to just get him a go-kart because they can't arrest him for drunk driving a go-kart? I miss that show.
We get it, man.
I miss that, too. What was that called? I'm trying to remember.
Celebrity Cops? I can't remember.
Shit. Oh, remember it was the Ozzy Osbourne's son, Wee Man. Yeah. I always remember Wee Man.
Yeah, Wee Man and Eric Estrada.
And LaToya was deathly afraid of cats.
Yes, she was.
Crazy bitch.
Oh, my God.
I wish I could remember what that was.
This is my modest perception of myself.
Huh?
All right, and that's news for this week.
Awesome.
I love that in her little thigh. Are you kidding me?
You know what? I love that little guy who's controlling the robot. It's awesome.
Now, does the little guy have the same self-esteem problems?
I think he does.
The robot?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My God.
Yeah, I know. It's true. You know what he really needs to do?
Renew and invigorate my soul.
Reinvigorate.
Reinvigorate? I do that every morning, climb the hilltop and just scream at the top of my lungs.
The guy comes across so phony. How can anyone take him seriously?
Spec ops.
Awesome. Medic. I was a spec ops medic. I'm a stunt man. I know flow karate or something.
I can tell a setup accident when I see one.
All right, you guys ready to do some DVDs or something?
Let's do it.
Let's do them.
Let's do it. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! DVDs!
DVDs! HD Blu-ray standard definition!
DVDs! Oh, hell yeah! Yes. All right, Bill, what are the DVDs of the week? Oh, and by the way, let me configure this real quick.
It's a DDR configuration. I just need to pull up the frequency of the receiver.
All right. And then you got the DVDs up on your screen now, Bill?
I do. That was really good of her to do that for us.
Scramble the arming code using the transmitter, the mobile comm.
Oh, now she's just making it more complicated. All right, DVDs for Tuesday, March 9th, 2010. Starting off with a bang. Boondock Saints 2, All Saints Day on DVD and Blu-ray.
Oh, wicked awesome, yo.
I have to rent this just to see how god-awful it truly is.
I really just want to see it to see what's wrong with Sean Patrick Flannery's face. It's like, what is wrong with that dude's face, man?
What's wrong with your face?
Dude, I saw that movie, and dude, what's wrong with your face, huh?
Funny! 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 Funny!
Yeah, and I'm... let's see here. Does this have a commentary? God, I hope it does. Yes!
Oh, hell yeah.
This commentary, I'm sure, will be almost as good as the McGee commentary for Terminator Salvation.
This will be like the audio track, like if you turned off the TV and just listened to the documentary.
Yes.
Shit, what was that called? Overnight?
Overnight, yeah.
And the director's name is Troy Duffy. So just like turn off the TV and just listen to it. You know, I'm going to get that in podcast and just put it on my MP3 player and listen to it. Be awesome.
Nomine Patria et Filii, Spiritus Sancti.
Good Lord.
He finally got it made. Can you believe it?
It's shocking. And that's the last movie he'll have made.
Yeah, it's like, come on, dude. When are you going to make another movie? Well, I'm working on Boondocks 3. It's like, is that the only... That's all you got, dude? What?
Love the Boondocks.
He's going to still be making them when... oh, shit. my brain is not working.
I want that dude from Waiting to go off on Troy Duffy. He's just like...
We get it, man. Well, I don't know. It's me when I grow up.
So it's got a filmmaker and cast commentary. Billy Connolly and Troy Duffy, unedited. Oh, that ought to be an interesting
interview.
That's
going to be some funny shit, Bill. Awesome. Yeah.
Billy Connolly's hilarious. He's probably sitting there going, how the hell did I end up in this shit?
Billy Connolly, he's a funny guy. Remember when he took over for Howard Hessman? And I was like, who the hell is this dude? On Head of the Class? What the hell is going on?
I want my Howard Hessman back.
That's when Howard Hessman's like, I demand more money. It's like, you're Howard Hessman. No. He's like, oh, I'm out of here.
You were on WKRP in Cincinnati.
I could just picture that. Him in an office at ABC. You know, I demand more money. You're Howard Hessman.
No, the answer is no.
You demand nothing.
I am all that is man.
All right. Next DVD and Blu-ray, Capitalism, A Love Story, the latest Michael Moore documentary. Which, you know, I enjoy a lot of his films, but at least I have the sense about me to know that he loves to twist shit around.
I love that In Her Little Thigh. Are you kidding me?
You can't even call his films documentaries because there's really no truth in them.
I'm entertained by his stuff like Bowling for Columbine. I don't think I've seen anything since that. I never saw the 9/11 thing.
Yeah, you did. I loved
you know, I enjoyed it. It's so
Maybe
weird
I'll
to say I enjoyed
it.
Bowling
I
for Columbine up until the end whenever he
visits Chuck Heston.
Yeah, that ruined it for me. That was just mean.
Is it because Chuck was a little old and his mind
a little old, Christ.
His mind wasn't working properly. It seemed like you're just picking on an old guy, you know?
Yeah, it didn't feel right. It's like that's the wrong person to be picking on, dude. Yeah, his politics are old school and you know, you're
well, the
new
thing
and
is,
all that.
I mean, if he had his wits about him and you kind of gave him a good talking to, but it seemed like he was just confused by it all.
Yeah,
you know?
He didn't know what it was about or why he was there. It was
you know,
just
it would
cruel.
Have been different if it was like, oh, I showed him. And he was speechless. But instead, he was kind of like, it's kind of like,
what happened?
Yeah, whatever.
Who is this guy?
Yeah, who's this guy on my porch? And remember, he leaves a picture of one of the victims like on his porch or something.
Yeah,
my favorite is when he confronts Dick Clark. And this is before Dick Clark's stroke, by the way, so that would even be where he's like,
what
do you have to say about that, Dick Clark? It's like, leave this dude alone. Okay, Jesus.
Hello, Michael.
We get it, man.
Wow. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. All right. Next DVD is... Why have I never heard of this film? It had to have gone straight to DVD.
Why are you in jail?
A Dog's Tale.
What is it called
again? Richard Gere.
Say the name again.
Hachi. H-A-C-H-I. A Lasse Hallström film.
Oh. That guy directs a lot of shit, man.
Literal shit. It looks like it's about a Shiba Inu dog thing.
Oh yeah, Richard Gere's all into that shit, isn't he? Into like, you know, Dalai Lama and
yeah, he's a big fan of the Asians
and the pets they keep.
The Dalai Lama and the pets they keep.
That's a better title to a movie, if I say so myself.
I think you nailed it.
The Dalai Lama and the pets they keep.
You should totally try to get his agent on the phone and say, I've got a great idea for a movie.
Pitch a story to you.
It involves the Dalai Lama. Sold! I know the Lama, His Holiness, quite well.
I hope you burn in hell.
Oh, my God. Jeez. Yeah.
Dalai Lama's very angry.
Now, I can't get past that whole no material objects thing. It's just like, nah, I'm out.
Yeah.
It's like, what about the computer? How can I do the show without a computer? I need to have this object, okay? How am I going to check my email?
Plus wearing orange robes.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't pull off a robe. I'm sorry.
No, the robes just make me look even fatter than I already am.
Robes and sandals.
You know what I love when Angelo snaps and he's like, snap out of it, and he kicks his picture. That dude Tommy like has this smile on his face, like, whoa, like awesome.
He has a smile on his face every time something happens that like doesn't that, involve him.
Just total excitement on his face.
Like, this is great.
God damn it.
Oh dear.
God damn, dude.
God damn, dude.
What's the matter? Mom, right. Teach you how to chug?
Next DVD and Blu-ray, Old Dogs with John Travolta and...
As long as Seth Green's not in it, I'll be fine.
Well, you know what's so bad about the cover is that it's John Travolta and Robin Williams, you know, just in a stance, and then who's at the forefront? Seth Green being cradled by a gorilla.
My ass hurts from wiping right now.
Wiping with the seat with the DVD.
Yeah, really.
Whatever. I've been wiping my ass for 2 hours. I'm like, whatever.
It's like, oh yeah, yeah. I remember on the commercials. Seth Green's being held by a gorilla. I always wanted to see that. Let's buy this DVD. That's what it is, right there.
There is an extra on the DVD that I've seen on YouTube. I can't even remember how or what site linked to it. It's a cover of the Bobby Brown song Every Little Step, performed by John Travolta and his daughter Ella Blue Travolta, and it is so bad. They are both tone deaf.
Is this supposed to be real sweet or something?
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, dad and daughter singing Every Little Step I Take, You Will Be There. You know? And
goddamn, dude.
Yeah. It's so bad. So bad.
I have had the worst diarrhea of my goddamn life last night.
After watching Old Dogs. Dude, I don't know. It wasn't anything I ate. It was the movie I watched, dude.
Or they didn't have
forget
anything
this.
To eat.
This is what's so great about a movie like Old Dogs. It has an audio commentary with the director, producer, and writers.
Where is this coming from? Like, the field or what?
I almost feel like I have to rent it just to listen to the commentary. Because how can they honestly talk about a movie like this in any serious manner?
I'll show you how that goes down.
It's like, well, if you notice here, we place a flower in the foreground. Now, what this is it's symbolizing his childhood when his mother, who's a gardener, she passed away. But what it is it's symbolizing his loss.
See this?
And
here we used a wide angle lens.
In this scene where Seth Green is being ass raped by a gorilla, what we wanted to convey was the pure horror that would happen as you're being penetrated by a gorilla.
We were big fans of Trading Places, and we wanted to incorporate a similar scene. All right.
My favorite
next DVD
thing
and Blu-ray.
I was going to say, Bill, my favorite thing on commentaries is when they say, and I think we pulled it off. Oh, did you now? Wow. Well, yeah, let's give each other a paw, shall we?
Self-congratulatory shit.
And I think we pulled it off. I love my career.
That's what Tom Shadyac says every night before he goes to bed.
Love my existence.
Oh, Evan Almighty was so good.
I love the molecules I'm taking up right now.
All right, next DVD and Blu-ray is Planet 51.
I saw that in the theater. And it's not as good as a Pixar or anything like that. But, you know, it's fun in a rent it and just, you know, whatever. I like the set, you know, I guess it's not real sets, but computer generated sets of the town where the aliens live, because it's like the 50s. Wherever they live, it's the 50s. Even though they're alien technology and stuff. It's kind of strange.
That's cool.
But it's got imagination to it. The storyline is, you've seen it all before. It's all been done before. But
fish
just,
out of water, alien.
The astronaut who comes, he's a dick, and he learns to be a nice guy, that kind of thing. So, I've seen it all before.
What's so crazy about the about the cover is that above Planet 51 in these gigantic block letters, it says Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
You all suck. I quit.
If somebody's going to buy Planet 51, they're not going to buy it because Dwayne Johnson is the lead voice
in
it.
Holy shit, Dwayne Johnson's in this?
Awesome.
You know, he didn't have to use The Rock anymore, but drop the Dwayne, you know.
Just Johnson?
Dwayne Johnson. How about DJ Rock?
Johnson?
DJ Rock. Oh, wait, that would make you think of Yo Gabba Gabba. Never mind. DJ Lance Rock. Just come up with something better. And, you know, I think he dropped The Rock is because that one wrestling guy.
Vince McMahon gets a part of it.
Yeah, they own it.
He gets some of his cash. It's like, dude, you're a friggin' action figure in my bank here, dude.
That Vince McMahon is a shrewd businessman. All right, next DVD and Blu-ray is Precious. Based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
Oh, good. In case we want to go out and buy the book.
Yeah.
Read the book.
Most
first.
Ridiculous title ever.
Push. Based on the novel. No, wait.
No, Precious. Based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
Okay, Precious. So.
And you know why this movie was initially just called Push.
Goddamn.
Like the. When it was. Through its festival run, everyone just called it Push. And I guess because of the movie with...
Chris Evans. We kind of joked about Chris that Evans. Before, but is that really... I guess they had dibs on the name first, I guess?
Yeah. So I guess they changed it to Precious based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
Push based on the novel.
But then you're not for the novel.
And it's nominated for...
Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
I'm so confused.
I hate the title. It's a shitty title. I don't care how
good
the movie
is. And it takes up too much space.
Oh, go girlfriend.
And it's nominated for, what? Best Actress? Best Supporting Actress?
Yes.
For Monique. I watched it.
Guy?
It's depressing as all hell. Not exactly the movie you want to sit down on a Saturday night. And
I'm going to go to a bookstore and like, I want to buy this book. It's based on a movie. The book is either called Precious or it's called Push or it's called Sapphire. I'm not sure which one, but I really want to read that shit.
There's this book called Sapphire based on a novel Push by Precious.
Based on the movie Precious.
The book is called Push based on the movie called Precious by Sapphire, right? Or it's a...
What?
Precious. Sapphire based the book on Push, but called it Precious. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? I'm going to have to ask you to leave the store. Wait, no, I just want this book. What is this?
This is bullshit.
I'm trying to buy a book here.
Why aren't you in jail?
All right. And last DVD and Blu-ray, Up in the Air. The Jason Reitman film with George Clooney and Vera Farmiga and Anna Kendrick. Great movie. It's funny how they're getting these out right after the Oscars.
Yeah, I can't watch till after the Oscars. But it's a great film, right?
Yeah, I really, really like
it. Is it the kind of film where it's emotional, where you tear up?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Awesome.
But it's one of those movies that you enjoy the journey.
Awesome.
You know what? I get real ghetto, and I'm not fair. I will cut your ass.
There's a scene, Vera Farmiga right there.
No, that's from Precious, based on the novel Sapphire by Push.
Push, based on the movie with Chris Evans, by the novel Sapphire by Precious.
Lance, wait. Based on the story
the Precious
by
film.
Nori Mulberry.
The Precious film with Chris Evans called Push with Dakota Fanning that's not anything to do with the book by Sapphire.
Exactly.
Shame on you.
Oh, sorry.
And that's DVDs.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week. Awesome. Wicka, wicka, how? All right, Steven.
Wicka, wicka, how?
I got nothing.
He is evil incarnate.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And...
All right, everybody, that was episode 193 of Nowhere Mulberry. Thank you for tuning in this evening and also downloading the show on iTunes or wherever you do. Please listen to the enhanced version with pictures and chapters where you can skip over stuff, but I wish you wouldn't. It's just to save your place. It's not for skipping, okay? Don't skip over the gold that is Tool Academy talk or Seducing Cindy.
They don't know what they're missing. If they skip over that stuff, shame on them.
Exactly. Shame on them.
Shame on you.
No, shame on them. Okay, Locke? God.
Now why'd you go and do that?
I don't know. But go to nowheremulberry.com. You'll find a link to a Mulberry Old School. I think it's still there. I have no idea if it is or not.
I haven't looked.
It might
be. I guess
be.
We should.
I should look. I mean, I don't know why I haven't looked, but I will.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
Call 1206-202-3491 and send us a voicemail, or go to nimpodcast@gmail.com and send us an email or a MP3 voicemail, much like Rick and Sean did, which was
much
really
better
cool.
quality.
Yeah.
Holy
Yeah. Or you could do it left channel or right channel like Rick.
Left channel.
Exactly. Thank you.
Right channel.
Awesome. Oh. Or you could do it in the middle, right?
Smack dab in the middle.
Awesome. That's totally a joke for my dad. He'll never listen to it. It's going to be awesome, though, if he does. No, he won't. Daddy, why?
I hope you burn in hell.
Oh, my God, dude. What the hell?
It's a really nasty thing to say.
Foggy's fired off the show.
Woo!
No, he's a slave. He will never be fired. Now, let's see. Mulberry Old School. Oh, and you know what, Bill? Lately, people have left us comments in the forum, which has been cool. Not so much Facebook and Twitter, but there's a few people that do, and I love you. It's awesome when they do that, don't you think? Send a little message like, hey, love the show, whatever. That's awesome. Anybody leaves comments, keep doing it. I love it. Especially, after you do a show and you just hope that it gets out there. And, I was reading this, actually Roger Ebert, I wasn't reading. The Esquire article came out, and I thought it was very touching about what he's going through, and he doesn't have a voice, but he's living through his writing, and it's given him new purpose in life. I mean, he always was a great writer, but now that's how he expresses everything about himself, not just about movies, right?
Yeah, I think he's actually improved now that that's his voice.
Right, and because he writes about everything. And he was on Oprah also, you know, it's kind of funny, Oprah, I would never watch that. But I watched the segments on online and how he was talking about bringing happiness. And you know what I mean? Instead of negativity. And I almost like, that's what I want to do with the show. I don't think of it like consciously, like I want to bring happiness to everyone, but I do want to do a show that people laugh at, right?
Right.
That people are entertained by. Because it does make me feel good when people say, hey, I laugh my ass off at this. Like when I say, hey, has the show ever made you do a spit take? You know?
Did you see the thing with Roger Ebert where they made a computer thing and he can type? And,
and it's his voice?
It's his voice.
That's what's great is they have so many recordings with his voice that they could do that.
That was awesome.
That was. That was that made the tears well up too, just like Spartacus. But I'm not, you know, I'm not – I know Spartacus isn't real. I mean, it's just a TV show.
I was just sad that that hot, hot woman is no longer on the show.
No, what she said on Twitter.
Maybe in dreams. I hope in very sexy dreams.
Erin Cummings on Twitter, she said, thank you all for your condolences of my character being killed. But I still might appear as an apparition. Because, you know, he has talked to his wife several times. She's come to him. And it's just in his mind, you know. So she's still going to be doing that. Like, come to him in moments of strength or whatever. Like, Spartacus, hear my words. And that kind of thing. Remember the remember what she said to him in the pilot? Like, I had a vision, you serving two serpents or something. He's like, yeah, okay. So as she's laying there dying, she puts her hand on his chest, and on his armor is two serpents.
Two serpents, yeah.
It's like, whoa.
Oh, foreshadowing.
My God. Angela's really upset over that scene. So, poor guy. But don't you love symbolism like that? It's like, wow, you know, what does this mean?
We get it, man.
All right.
Come on, dude.
God, that guy needs to line up, man.
Why aren't you in jail?
Why would I be in jail? I don't understand.
I hope you burn in hell.
But yeah, I'm just saying that Roger Ebert's words really inspired me. I mean, I thought it was very moving. And I couldn't imagine not having a voice. I think we'd have to stop doing the show.
I have no choice in that matter.
Because I can't afford that software shit. I'd have like a speak and spell or something. But... A, E, I, O, U. It's like E.T. or something.
Cool, you guys got a robot?
Exactly. That's what it would be like. It'd be sad. Wow.
Shut the goddamn door.
Good times. Now, hey, that's pretty much all we got, right?
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, guys. Bill, we're going to play some Battlefield 2. No, Bad Company Battlefield. Bad Company 2.
Battlefield based on the novel Precious.
Pushed by Bad Company 2 Sapphire.
Yeah.
Exactly. I can't wait to play that. I'm going to be that girl. Is she like a medic or something?
She's a tank.
Oh!
She's almost 18.
Huh? Oh my God.
That was the shit!
All right, guys. You know, I'm sorry that we just got to end the show, man. All right, guys. See you next week. Laters!
This is bullshit. I have been here all goddamn day, and you haven't let me say one thing.
Oh,
none of you.
Sorry.
You shut the fuck up now.
Oh.
It's my turn to talk. You're all fucked in the head. All of you. You know what? This. You all suck. I quit.
Later.
I think that was Foggy quitting.
Later, Foggy.
is podcasting.
I've done a lot of drinking in my time.
Like, shame on you.
Oh, my God.
You know what? I get real ghetto, and I'm not fair. I will cut your ass.
Is it wise to allow such a thing?
Oh, go, girlfriend.
Why aren't you in jail?
Run home and cry to mama.
Who is this guy?
Aliens are living among us.
Digging for apples. Digging for apples. I'm breaking up soil. Because I know that I find apples.
Digging for apples indeed.